about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
You ought to have been on the air by now. What's happening, engineer?
Don't worry, I'm just waiting for the standby light. It should be through at any minute.
Good. Right, stand by, everyone.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Everything you tweet, you think, even, have you regretted anything that you've tweeted?
Nope.
Nothing? Never. You don't go, maybe I should have thought about that a little longer?
What's the point of thinking?
But he's running around in devil outfits while they're on LSD, and then have prostitutes come in who are menstruating to smear blood all over them just to totally whack them out. I mean, I don't want to get gross here, but this is the type of stuff they do.
I know when that hotline bling, that can only mean one thing. I got hot sauce in my bag. Swag. Becky with the good hair. Lemonade.
I don't know how I would have done it if I was in charge.
Well, how would you have done it?
I can't teach how I do it. Can Paul McCartney teach Kid Rock how to be a good songwriter? I mean, that's a bad example. Kid Rock rules, but...
And now, and more jokes than you can shake a sack full of d***s at.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 11th of January.
What's going on, you guys?
It's coming down out there, you guys.
Yeah.
It's like
water
Noah's
falling
Ark.
From the sky.
Yeah.
Raining!
I mean, it's really raining.
For here, it's really
it's
coming
pouring.
Down.
It's pouring. It is flash flooding.
But it's nothing like Northern California. Have you seen some of the video from out
of
there?
Oh, they're so much better. They got so much more rain. Just let us have this.
It's billions of gallons of snow and rain just going everywhere. I mean, they're opening up levees so that Sacramento doesn't flood. I mean, there are people who are just under multiple feet of snow
but
all
we need
over
it.
There.
We need it.
Closing
need it, Kevin.
They're closing interstates. It's so bad in Northern California right now. So, yeah. It's
all right, they're a little better, but we got a lot.
No, I'm not saying they're better. I'm just saying it's...
No, you're saying they're better at rain.
I'm saying it's... I'm saying
they receive better rain than we do.
They
it's
do.
Worse for them than it is for you.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying. So, how's everybody?
I think you know.
Hell, are you alive?
What's that mean?
I'm barely hanging on.
Yeah. You're still Ship's sick? Kevin,
worse.
You're still sick?
Are you worse?
It's allergies.
Oh, okay. Am I worse? No, I'm about the same.
Okay.
Bean's
which is,
worse.
Which is a positive. You're
Bean
worse.
Won't go to
worse.
The doctor.
Well, Allie's trying to tell me it's viral pneumonia.
It absolutely is. It's everything I had, and then I let it go for 2 weeks because I thought it would just go away.
Like
that's
most
what
things
I'm
counting on.
Do,
right.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't, shockingly.
Hmm. So what happens if I don't go to the doctor? Do I
you
die?
You die, yeah, within 4 days.
Oh.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
No, it's definitely 4. They pinpointed it.
Oh.
Okay. I think today may...
You all right?
I'm okay. Today may be the day, then. I think it's
to
getting
die?
To the point where... No, to maybe see a doctor. So antibiotics, is that what we're talking about?
I think they'll give you a Z-Pack, yeah. And you'll feel better. Within 2 days, you're going to be like, whoa, this is normal. But here's a tip, pneumonia, fellow pneumonia people.
Right.
Don't think, hey, I'm feeling better. I'm going to go out for dinner. Maybe have a couple drinks with friends. You are going to be so wiped out for another week just for doing that.
After you
yeah.
get better, you mean.
After you get better, just lay low for a while. Just take it all in. Watch some Hallmark movies.
Look, Bean is he can't stay inside. That's Bean's
gotta
problem.
Go out.
He's got dinners and lunches
why I'm
and
trying
friends.
To get it out there.
So just, many friends.
You
right?
really need to tone it down, Bean.
I have a very active social schedule.
Hey, walking here's a through story. The French Quarter.
Here's a story to get us started here, you guys.
Hurricanes.
With beads.
Like I do.
Yep.
By the way, it is the festival season now. That starts on January 6th. So there are parades every single weekend now, from now till Mardi Gras, which is
so
February 28th. Fine. It's just, it's insane
yes.
how much the city parties. Insane.
Yeah, it's a great time there.
It's not for me.
It's a bad time for you to be there, but for everyone else to be there, it's
a
great.
Blast.
Here's a story that I thought was interesting, and look, it's no secret in recent years, people don't get dressed up for anything anymore, and it's been for many years now, you see people, particularly young people, out in their pajamas.
Right.
It's just, I mean, there's no college girl that doesn't get out of her pajamas anymore for all 4 years, is what it looks like to me when I go to the store and see them in there shopping. But in Britain... A guy named Chris Cook, who is a customer at the Tesco, which is a very popular supermarket chain in the UK, he, on the Facebook page for Tesco, said he wants them to stop it. He asked them to put a rule in place, and he took a picture of two girls in pajamas doing their grocery shopping. Can you please put a rule in place that people like this will not be served in your stores?
What? Why?
He went on to add that it was disgusting and said, who doesn't have time to get changed into clothes to go shopping.
Who needs to change into clothes to go shopping? What does he care?
A pair of flannel jammy bottoms,
right?
Some tennis shoes and a sweatshirt.
I don't even wear tennis shoes. I wear slippers sometimes.
I do.
Have you been grocery shopping in your pajamas, Kevin?
Not in my pajamas, but I wear slippers all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all the time. I did this past weekend when I was sick. I just got myself and I went up over there and I just was like, I don't care. I don't care.
That was well said.
So this guy's off his rocker, right?
He's insane.
He shouldn't care whether people are in there in their pajamas or not.
I mean, honestly, is it hurting him?
I mean, I don't know how old Mr. Cook is, but maybe he grew up at a time where you put on a shirt and a pair of pants when you left the house. You know, maybe this is just something that's just...
Well, it's too, a new time.
Too modern time. For him.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far and I can't hear too good.
When I was a little girl, my mom would make us dress up when we flew to Boston. So we would literally I'd put on a dress, I'd put on little tights and shoes.
That's how everyone used to fly.
What a terrible way to fly.
It was awful, yeah. But it was like this privilege that we got to fly and we should look the part. And then probably when I was about 10, my dad's like, what are you doing? This is insane.
Flying is great, but it blows.
Right? As they're smoking in the cabin.
It's so funny when you see photos. I mean, you see photos of, baseball and football games from the 1950s, and people are there in their hats and in their ties and in their dresses and things like that. I mean, people just used to get up. Maybe it was rarer to go out and do things like that so that it was a special occasion.
I guess.
Maybe.
I mean, who's making a big stink about people showing up and
at a
grocery store? Yeah, I mean, I agree. Look, I don't have any problem with it. I mean, but I guess we've just gotten used to it. I think that would have been shocking 20 years ago to see somebody out in their pajamas, but now it's so commonplace. In case you're wondering, by the way, Tesco responded with a post saying that many of our customers have told us they feel uncomfortable when they see shoppers wearing unsuitable clothing in our stores. We do try to find a balance that everyone is happy with, but in general, it's not a big issue. They say they do not have a formal dress code, and they ask their colleagues and their shoppers to use common sense and discretion when they're shopping. So, in other words, they're not going to put a rule in effect.
So everybody shut up, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Essentially, use common sense. You don't want people to feel uncomfortable with what you're wearing, but they don't seem to think that pajamas cross that line. And I think I agree.
Same. Did I say slippers? Only slippers, though.
Ew,
yeah.
Gross.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hey, Kevin. I have a full lady boner.
Oh, my.
Okay. Comedian Rhys Darby.
Love him.
Oh, my God.
He's coming in studio today.
Best.
He is the best. You thought you woke up late for work. This happened to me last Friday night at 6:21 when I realized I was an hour late for work.
Last Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah, last Friday night at 6.
Well, the show you're on is on in the morning.
6:21 p.m., right. But I was confused. It was a NyQuil nap.
Uh-huh.
And then it was 6:21, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm an hour late. And I don't remember which one of us came up with the rule, Bean or myself.
That you don't call?
But you don't call someone that's overslept because it's so much worse. So I was like, I was mad at Bean. I just assumed it was him.
Right.
And then I just jumped out of bed and ran because it was dark Friday night and it's dark when I get up.
Yeah.
Sure. So, you know, we can all understand that, right?
Totally, Kevin.
Okay,
you're
good.
Fine.
Thank you. It's Wednesday, so we've got the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. We have Addicted to Real Dolls.
Whoa.
I don't know if you've seen this. It's called Reborning. And they're little babies. And the dolls look very realistic.
Very realistic.
Right.
A little too realistic.
Yeah.
And some people treat them 100% like they are real. And those people are scary. So that's coming up this morning. We have the host of Cyber War on Viceland, Ben Makich, who is going to come on the air. He's a hacking expert, which I think will be fascinating to talk about. One of the stories that he was talking about is Russia hacking the DNC.
Weird timing.
And he's done a lot of research into this and has talked to a lot of hackers.
Nice.
So that's going to be fascinating. And Grill-A-Mall Chef is going to be on the program today because they're having a fourth anniversary, and they booked some dubious entertainment.
Here's something, Kevin. When you guys tweeted about it last night, people were like, oh, my God, Metallica's going to play an acoustic set. This is going to be amazing. Oh, they're in for a treat when they hear this, aren't they?
I'm sorry. They thought – what was the tweet last night?
That they've got surprise entertainment.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. It's not a good choice.
It's not.
Metallica would fall in the good choice category.
Right.
This would be the opposite of that. So we'll tell you about that coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
By the way, did we mention we're giving away another ski trip today to Crested Butte in Colorado?
We didn't mention that. No.
Also have not. U2 tickets at the Rose Bowl coming up on the program today. We got Clippers tickets for Monday night versus OKC when they're in town. Split movie passes before that comes out. A lot of good stuff to give away. That's all coming up here on K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Good morning, sir.
Hey, F this rain, right?
Right?
Nope. F it. F it right in the drops.
That's what I'm saying.
Can you do that? Yeah.
Okay.
Blows.
Best.
Coming down like a Russian prostitute out there. You know what I'm saying?
Well done.
Wet.
Wet. One.
What?
It's funny because it's true.
Right. You know who sucks for this rain? Amy Adams.
Oh, I've been thinking about her.
Right?
Yeah.
Send your thoughts and good wishes to Amy.
How come?
Well, she's getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m.
Aww.
That's not ideal to have one of those ceremonies when it's just coming down.
Sort of a bummer.
Yeah. Her star will be located at 6280 Hollywood Boulevard next to the W Hotel in Hollywood. So if you are an Amy Adams fan, 11:30 a.m. this morning, Amy will be given her honor on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Good actress, that Amy.
Yeah,
she sure is. Hasn't she been nominated for like 5 Oscars or something crazy like that?
5-time Academy Award nominated actress, 2-time Golden Globe winning actress. And of course, Arrival's a big hit, and she's got Nocturnal Animals as well, which has gotten a lot of critical acclaim. She was Lois Lane, and will be again, I'm sure. So congratulations, Amy, and I'm sorry about the whole rain thing. What are you going to do? Speaking of stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Mariah Carey's star was vandalized over the weekend.
By Dick Clark Productions?
Yes. They set her up to fail again. Foiled again, she was. Somebody went to her star and added a question mark. So now it reads, Mariah Carey?
Oh,
come on! That's funny!
That is kind of funny. I agree.
The Hollywood Historic Trust has already cleaned up the star. But here's the thing. If they have to fix your star, clean your star up, they send you a bill for what it costs.
No.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So she received a bill for $1,500.
She has
an expensive question mark.
That does not make sense.
Why?
Because it was... Why are you held accountable for others' actions? That's absurd.
But it's your property. I guess, you know, you don't have to get it cleaned up if you don't want to, but it's sort of service they provide for you, but you have to pay
for it. Is it your property?
Yeah, you pay for it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or studio or somebody pays for it. The Hollywood Historic Trust doesn't. Their job is sort of like caretakers, but they're a non-for-profit organization. They can't go around just buffing up your star all the time. Yeah. Come on, Kevin, have some respect.
Yeah, but I'm saying Mariah Carey is, you know, some pranksters are out there making fun of her, and she has to pay for it. That doesn't seem right.
I think she's okay.
I think she's all right, too, but...
She'll find that in her couch cushions and be able to send that over to the...
That's possible.
...to the trust, I think.
I know that there are some fan clubs that provide that service for the people they like.
A lot of fans take care of the stars that they love, so
that's sad.
It gets handled. I go over there and brush up Adam West every once in a while.
I don't doubt that.
Get out a little brasso. Go
is that
out there
what they're calling?
Make it polish.
Right.
Polish it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Make it look good.
Sure.
Polish it up.
Right.
I see Kevin out there sometimes with his slippers taking care of other people's stars. Are you a mental patient?
No.
Are you a mental patient?
No.
Then why do you walk around in the real world in slippers?
Because they're comfortable.
Because you're a mental
what
patient.
What do you think?
Why.
It's weird you've never worn them here that I've seen.
No, I always wear shoes here. It's work.
But the grocery store.
Yeah. It's not work.
So.
It is not work. You're right.
I just imagine pushing cart to the house, slippers.
Just scuffing.
those gowns, hospital gowns with ass hanging out the back.
I haven't thought of that yet, but...
Gotta get some pudding. A lot of pudding. He's just mumbling pudding to himself the whole time, walking around Albertsons like a lunatic. Slippers.
Really?
How
that
comfortable do you have to be? Because sneakers are so confining to your feet, you got to put on slippers.
No, but you're in slippers, then you go, I got to go to the store, but is it worth... just go. Doesn't matter.
I can't go to the extra yard.
Here's the thing.
Put on shoes.
Here's the thing I'm convinced about me. No one's looking at me. So
okay.
I'm good.
All right.
Aren't you looking at you, though?
No.
Ever?
Ever.
Don't you ever look at yourself?
Would you if you were me?
Don't you ever just look at yourself
no.
and say, what the hell am I
no.
doing?
That would be too depressing, Ralph.
It's in my slippers.
It's the secret to a happy life.
Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, January 11th. Actress Amanda Peet, 45 years old today. Singer Mary J. Blige.
That's Blige.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
She's the best.
She is great. 46 years old today. And our buddy from No Doubt, Tom Dumont, celebrates his 49th birthday today. Last night was a big night for me. I was invited to a little listening party to hear brand new music from Dream Car, which is the new band that has been formed with members of No Doubt, including Tom.
You get him to change the name?
No, I love that name.
Do you?
Yes.
All right.
And Tony Canal. Tony was the one who invited me out.
Mm-hmm.
And Adrian, of course, those are the guys. And then they got Davey Havoc of AFI as their singer. So they invited me to come out and listen to the new music for the first time. Anybody was going to hear it. And I said, oh, that sounds great. And I said to Tony, I will be there. And the wife said, I'd love to go too. I said, let's make a night of it. We'll go out. We'll have dinner beforehand. And then we'll stop by the studio and we'll take a listen. And so we were very excited. So we go and have a very nice meal. And we come out and it's just starting to come down rain. It's starting to come down awful. And we hop in the car and...
No.
Your battery's dead?
Dead.
In the rain.
Worst. In the rain.
This is at your house when you're leaving to go out?
No, at the restaurant.
It's already at the restaurant. Okay, gotcha.
Wow. Try to follow along. This week, I'm going to have to start making diagrams, and there's going to be pictures and bar graphs.
Ralph went to the restaurant and had dinner. And then he was leaving dinner.
We're in Hollywood. We're in the heart of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
On our way to go to hear. I'm so excited to hear this new music. 45 minutes waiting for AAA. Come along.
Missed it. And this is the banana mobile you're driving, right?
Missed it. Missed the whole
thing. You missed the whole thing?
No. Yeah.
Nothing. Got nothing. Got home around 9. It was all over.
You missed the listening party.
Yeah. But I was.
Stryker sent in a clip if you'd like to hear a little bit of it.
I was texting back and forth with Tony. Tony's like, are you coming? And I was like, oh, this happened. He's like, okay, don't worry about it. And then later in the evening, he's like, I'm drunk with Stryker right now. That was a text I got from him. So thanks for rubbing it in. I'm glad you guys are having a good time. Did Stryker bring some?
Yeah, here's a little clip of Dream Car.
You're the head on the spear.
I don't think.
You're the nail on the cross.
I like
you're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost. You're the letter from Jesus.
I'm on
the
sure.
I feel like Davey's going in a
different
direction.
Yeah.
That's not. Anyway, so that was my night. So that's why still F rain.
Oh, I can see
and
that now.
This
much,
morning I stepped out of the house.
In your slippers?
In my slippers.
Right.
I guess there's about a 7-foot deep puddle. I'm guessing around 7 foot. I'm guessing it was about 7 feet
Only
deep.
7 feet
it
deep?
It had a diving board. That's all I know. It was that kind of puddle. And up to about the knee. So now I have to wring out my pants in the other room and put my shoe up on the dryer, on the hair dryer. Do we
if
have
you
a hair dryer here?
If you had slippers, you'd be very happy
right
now.
I could just wring my slipper out.
Right?
Yeah, so... F rain, I guess, is the moral of the story. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about you two tickets at the Rose Bowl in 5 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show? First, though, we're going to tell you about the creepiest thing you will hear about all day. Am I right?
Yeah, these are called real dolls. Some of them are called reborning.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they look very hyper-realistic.
Like they really do look like they are real people, babies. They have very accurate-looking skin and hair and eyes. They don't look like toys.
Nope.
Yeah. Apparently, it started in the 1990s, and it's this tradition of collectors, artists, manufacturers restoring dolls to make them look more realistic.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of took on a life of its own where they would just start from the beginning with these dolls. And, I mean, they look so much like babies, feel so much like babies, so I've heard. And then you
smell so much like babies.
Smell so much, but you can dress them. You do everything. They're essentially real dolls, minus the living.
Minus the real.
Sure.
Yeah. There's a woman in Staten Island, New York, who has over 300 of them. She says in this story she has 500 of them.
Has she never heard of family planning?
Well, let's find out about her.
my instinct is to, you know, cuddle them, mother them, you know, take care of them. So, I mean, that just comes natural for me. Sometimes if I have a stressful day and I hold a baby for a few minutes and I'm around my family, it really, you know, makes me feel relaxed.
Okay. Oh. When you hold your baby and it makes you feel relaxed, that's because it's not making any noise and it's not unhappy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when she's around her own family, she has to hold a fake baby so that she feels relaxed.
And when you say around her own family, she has her own children, right?
Yeah, we'll get
to that. It's not like this is a sad lady who couldn't have a baby and that's why she's gone all in on fake babies, right?
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah. All right.
The obsession with lifelike dolls goes back to Marilyn's childhood.
I have been fascinated with dolls since as early as I can remember. But I got a doll called Real Baby when I was about 7 or 8. And it had it was about 2 pounds, and it was supposed to look realistic. At that time, it did, I guess.
I imagine it did not, right?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, but they've gotten so much better now. That's why she has over 300 of them.
Yeah.
Not compared to my babies here. I still have her, even till this day.
Almost 30 years of collecting and making dolls later, Marilyn's New York home is filled with around 500 dolls of all kinds.
500 now. She's up to 500, everybody. If you're keeping track at home.
Oh, my.
She's up to 500 dolls. They're in every single room.
That was going to be my question. If she just has them stuffed away in the basement, but no, she has them on display.
Living room, kitchen, bedrooms,
like
hallways.
Like in cradles, on chairs, everywhere.
Yes. Over 500, and it's a pretty tiny house.
Oh, wow.
Including Ellie, a full-size sex doll she recently rescued.
Okay,
wait,
now,
sorry. What? Hold on, what?
Including...
I thought we were talking about little babies.
We are.
What's going on?
We are, but she saw a sex doll in distress, I guess.
She rescued it.
She rescued it.
Did she pull it out from under a dude? What happened?
No. There's no more detail on how she rescued the sex doll, but thank God, because that doll's got to be a lot happier today, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Not having that stuff done to it and all. It must be real happy with her rescue. What's going on?
But she still has the support of her husband, Zoth.
She has a husband?
Come on!
She got married and they're still together?
He's living in this house with his crazy cuckoo wife and 500 dolls plus a sex doll?
And her two children, Skylar and Damien.
She has two real children?
Damien.
Yeah, Damien, right?
Damien. Right.
I don't necessarily feel that the dolls take over the home. After all, this is the dollhouse, and what would the dollhouse be without dolls?
Oh,
good point. That's the husband.
It's a good point.
Oh.
That's the husband who's been beaten down, clearly.
Oh, my God.
This is the dollhouse. They named it the dollhouse so that it makes a lot of sense if there are 500 dolls there.
Many people's homes have paintings or sculptures. We have dolls.
And despite the already huge number, there's always room for a new arrival.
Isn't that great? There's always room for more.
Yeah.
She only has 500.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do they at any point suggest that she's a hoarder?
They don't.
Hmm.
They don't. This is one of those BBC shows called Addicted To, and she's addicted to real dolls.
Okay.
One of my newest favorites is this baby here. She's a reborn baby that I made, and her name is Davina Star. I hand-rooted her hair with my son's hair.
Okay. So she made this one.
Okay.
And she used her son's, her real son, her human son's hair to give the baby, the doll baby hair.
Like you do.
Like you do. Right.
Usually we use mohair, which is goat hair for the babies, or you can use human hair. I chose to use my son's hair, so she has the family DNA as well.
Okay.
She has the family DNA, Bean.
She's not real. The baby is not
the
real.
The baby is a real doll.
Okay.
Do they pan over to the real son and he's just bald, just pissed in a corner?
No, but imagine how hard childhood is for most kids.
Right.
And to never bring a kid over to your house.
Ever.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah.
You would sit there with a BB gun and a sniper to take people out. Like, don't ever come see my mom. She's crazy.
And she comes to you and she says, son, I need to take some of your hair.
Yes.
Because I need to put it on your new baby sister.
What the?
Yeah, I think the kids do think of some of the babies as, you know, their little brother or sister, you know.
I was kidding. Yes.
Oh, no, I think she says she thinks that.
I was kidding.
She thinks that, which means she doesn't sound like she's ever asked the real kids.
Mm.
If, especially if I make a new one, like Davina here, I say, oh, this is your new baby sister, you know? And we come up with the names together.
That's sweet.
And Marilyn doesn't just keep her babies in the house.
Okay.
Please not in the car.
She takes them out for walks, Allie.
No, she doesn't.
In a stroller.
Of course.
They walking with a stroller when my kids were little. They don't fit in strollers anymore. So, you know, I take out a doll. She's a doll.
What do you mean
a doll? A doll. It's not real.
what do you mean a doll?
Why would you have a doll in a stroller? What's wrong with you?
Is this... Is this she's out in the stroller and someone comes up and asks why her baby isn't breathing? Is that what's happening? She has to explain it's not real?
It's a doll.
Yeah.
Some might think it's strange that we do take dolls out with us. And that's fine. We don't expect everyone to understand. You know, we don't judge others, but unfortunately, you know, people have their own judgments.
I found the dolls to be somewhat... A little unnerving,
unnerving,
but cool at the same time.
Unnerving,
is that
cool.
A random guy?
Yes.
Oh.
I think he was just trying to play along because she's clearly so in love with the doll.
Yeah.
Feels unnerving, but cool, I guess.
Some people get it, some people don't, and that's fine.
I got news for you. No one gets it. I mean, honestly.
I know I don't.
I could get it.
What?
And I will tell you why. If maybe somebody has suffered a loss, maybe a miscarriage or their child has passed.
None of that in the story.
Okay, but for someone like that that's going through a healing process, I can totally see it.
Yes, I would never make fun of a parent that lost a kid.
Absolutely.
But sounds like it's been going on for decades.
Yeah, since she was a child.
Right.
And she has two living children.
Right. She just loves dolls, guys.
Some people get it, some people don't. And that's fine. We don't expect everyone to understand. And we really don't care what people think. We're a loving, supportive family, and we're happy. And that's all that matters to us in the end, you know?
Oh, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
I want to see the husband interviewed away from the wife.
Right.
That's what I want to see.
And the bald kids.
And the bald kids, exactly.
Hey, Chip, by the way, we're still single.
Yeah.
Good. Just want to point that out. Awesome.
All right, I promised you two at the Rose Bowl. Now it's time to deliver. May 20th. Tickets go on sale, by the way, Tuesday morning at 10. This is you two with the Lumineers in support. This is their Joshua Tree 30th anniversary tour. They'll be performing that album in its entirety, along with a lot of other great U2 songs. So we're just looking for U2 fans. You know and love their music. We got a game you can play, 1-800-520-1067. You're on the air with us next on K-Rock.
How did we start doing this contest? Because this seems like a poor use of our facilities.
That's a terrible idea.
Okay.
It's terrible, and I feel awful for the people who are on hold to try to win the tickets, but we're going to try anyway to give them some seats at U2 at the Rose Bowl on May 20th. Tickets go on sale Tuesday morning at 10. Hey, Dave, King of Mexico, how are you?
Good morning, guys.
You consider yourself a good kazoo player?
No.
Yes, I'm great. I'm good at it. I practiced once.
I think that's how it started, as we were in the office and he was playing the kazoo.
Mm-hmm. No, it started because of the, remember the Internet Roundup video, the kazoo and you kid?
Oh,
and,
right, okay.
I kazoo and you! And I just thought it was really funny, and then I was like, I could probably do that. And
then you were wrong?
And then, the first time we did it, I was actually playing the instrument wrong until Ralph corrected me.
Well, I mean, you were,
there's that.
A, you were inhaling.
I was blow humming into the wrong end. Yeah,
right.
But you know, once you learn how to play an instrument the proper way, it comes along.
All right, so here's what's going to happen. He's going to play a U2 song, and then you're going to have to tell us what U2 song it is.
Oh, God.
Sounds simple.
Bless these people.
It's called "Cause You Two and You."
It's cause you two and you. Just guess the tune we play for you. It's cause you two and you. Cause you love you two and we do too. Some ticks, not one but two. It's cause you two and you. Come on now, let's hear that kazoo. Kazoo!
Right. Thank you, Omar. Well done, sir. Let's try to give away these tickets. So if you get your song right, you go into the drawing. Somebody at the end wins tickets for the Rose Bowl. Who's our first contestant, please?
First contestant is Andrew in Rancho Cucamonga. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning. By the way, yesterday's contest was all Joshua Tree. This is all U2.
U2 songs.
Any album that they have put out, this will be some of the biggest hits, and you're still not going to be able to identify them, but good luck. Here's Dave.
All right, just give me a couple of songs to warm up, though, all right? So it takes me about five or six or seven songs.
To win
them. Come on.
Five or six or seven? Okay.
Yeah, all right.
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go.
First U2 song. Good luck.
All right.
I think we've heard enough. Thank you. Andrew, what say you, sir?
Is that with or without
it
you?
It is. I can't believe we actually got one already.
He may be our only winner. That may have just been a lucky, lucky guess. Thank you, Andrew. You hold on. You're in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to Adrian and Whittier. Hi, Adrian.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
It's cause you two and you.
Cause you two and you is what's going on. You ready for your U2 song?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here's All Dave. Right. Good luck. Are we looking at the same list?
Dave, are you doing the number two one on the list? Dave,
B wants to know if you're doing number two.
I'm not doing number two. Not yet. Adrian, what U2 song was that?
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Was that a U2 song?
I mean,
allegedly.
Bean and I are looking at a list, and we didn't recognize it.
Because you guys are dumb.
So good luck.
If you don't know, at least take a guess. You have a shot at it.
One of their big hits.
Can you name any U2 song?
Yeah, Sunday Bloody Sunday.
All right. That's wrong, but at least you made a guess. Thank you. We appreciate it. All right, Dave, Dave's saying that was one.
And then I just fast forward a little bit, so.
It's funny that you made one number two.
Let's go to Chris in Rancho Cucamonga. Hi.
That guy wasn't a fan.
Please.
Fake listeners.
Hey, Chris.
Cool.
Hello.
Morning, party people. How are you doing?
We are good. Thank
you. Hey, Chris, you got the last one, right?
What's that?
You got the last one, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, please. All right.
Okay, cool.
Here's Dave with your song. Good luck.
Wow. All right. I think that's enough. Chris, what say you? What song is that, please?
I'm going to have to go with Three Times the Name.
No, that's I still haven't found.
That one was pretty good, Dave.
That was him. All right, so far it's still just Andrew in the drawing to win those tickets. Let's see if we can get him some company.
This one's fun.
Brandon in Anaheim, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Well, I'll tell you what's up.
It's cause you two and you.
I'm not sure it's going very well as we only have one guy qualified, but good luck. Here's Dave.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Make it sound good.
Should open up the Rose Bowl. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right,
Well done.
Bill in Anaheim. Hi, Bill.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Good, thanks. How have you been doing on hold?
Poorly. I think he needs to work on his blow humming skills.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right, here he is. Good luck.
I feel confident in this one.
Okay.
All right. This one's hard, at least. All right.
All right, Bill, that's enough. What do you think?
Oh, man.
It's enough for who? I'm looking at the answer.
I think I'm in trouble. It's not this. Even better than the real thing, I know I'm wrong.
It isn't, but thank you for guessing. That was
beautiful day.
Right on.
Right on. I didn't even recognize it.
Well, you're not a U2 fan.
Yeah, I am.
No, you're not.
All right,
you're
a fake U2 fan. One more contestant.
All right, let's go to Abel, who is calling us from Downey. Hi, Abel.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're doing Cause You, Two, and You, and we have two people that are in the drawing already. Good luck. Here's Dave.
All right. What should we do? Okay, yeah. All right.
The next one on the list.
All right. Sorry.
No name.
That may have been his best.
What? Look at that.
Nicely done.
All
right. This has been because you two and you. Abel is in the drawing thanks to that one. Brandon as well. Andrew, only one, unfortunately, can win a pair of tickets to go see the band at the Rose Bowl on May 20th with the Lumineers opening up. It's the Joshua Tree 30th Anniversary Tour. Miss Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
Andrew is going to you, too. Yay!
Andrew. Congratulations, Andrew.
Wow, no way. Thanks, guys.
You got the tickets. Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game.
It's because you two and you, because you love you two, and we do, too.
Kazoo!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Blink 182 was on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
Blink?
Did I say that poorly?
Nope.
Okay, good.
I'm just saying,
how were they?
Blink.
Great as always?
I did not see it. I recorded it. I'm going to watch it today.
What'd they play?
I didn't see it. I recorded
it. I don't
know. I'm going to watch it today.
Though?
Yeah, they were great.
I'm going to go home, going to put on my slippers, and I'm going to watch some Jimmy Fallon. Kindle.
He's not that sick.
So your update was just that they were on TV last night
on Jimmy Kimmel. If you record it like I do daily, check it out. That's all.
Okay. All right.
Fun facts.
Two people back the F down.
Kevin, fun facts.
6:53, Wednesday morning. Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Hey, there's a new surprising hit song. You're going to be surprised at this hit song. This is a hit song that will surprise you.
Okay.
The fact that this song is becoming a hit, I think, will come as a surprise to you.
Okay.
It's from a commercial. I'm going to play it for you, and you tell me, oh, yeah, I know where that song's from.
Okay.
All right.
And then do we have to have an answer after that, or just say that?
No. Okay. See if you do or not.
All right.
See if you recognize the song and can imagine why it's a hit.
All right.
Here's a new hit song. Put on your big pants.
Sort of does.
Fight a bull.
Is it a liquor?
Is it a liquor?
Is it an alcohol?
I don't even know her.
Alcohol?
No.
I think I know this one, Ralph.
Right. Okay.
I'm trying to remember what the product is. It's, I want to say it's is it Apple? Is it Apple or is it some sort of speaker system? But that's the commercial where the guy gets up off the lounge chair by the pool and walks up onto the diving board and dives into the water, right?
It is. It is that. It's an Apple iPhone 7 commercial where the old man gets up and puts on that song and goes to the diving board and makes a perfect dive.
It's a great ad.
It's a great ad, even though you could not remember right. What product it was for.
Well, I knew it was something
it's
to do
great,
with
that's a good
playing
ad,
music on
it's
the
not
phone.
A great ad. It's a good ad.
Yeah. And now that you say it, though, it's because the iPhone 7 is waterproof, right? Is that what it's all about? Or no?
Don't know, don't care.
Okay, all right.
I think it's more about the speaker system in the new iPhone than it is about the water.
And people are buying that song now as a result.
Apparently that track is from a Cuban jazz trumpet player named Arturo Sandoval, and it's called La Virgen de la Macarena. And it is a classic bullfighting song.
Sure.
And apparently that commercial is so popular that song is exploding again after being recorded in 2003.
That's awesome.
So you can get that track on iTunes.
Do you guys do stuff like that too, like I do? You Shazam a commercial to see what the music
absolutely.
Is?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sometimes a song will catch my ear and I'll say, ooh, what the hell is that? I like that. And then you hunt it down.
Yep.
It's also on an album by Arturo Sandoval called Trumpet Evolution.
Oh, I got that.
So if you're interested. But I thought it was funny that's hit because every time I'm flipping through commercials. I will stop and watch that commercial because I think that song, and it's beautifully shot. It's really a cool commercial. But there's that one hot chick who's lying there, too. She's like, yeah, I might do that old guy. It's like the Allie McKay phenomenon.
Same.
So you get up there and an old man, you do a perfect dive. All of a sudden, the hot lady's like, yeah.
Super good.
Yeah, let me get into those banana hammocks. He looks like he's got the Speedo on.
Yeah.
He's not American.
He's European?
Yeah. Not American. Americans, don't wear them. Americans. Jerry Seinfeld's funny. He seems good, right?
What?
We like him.
Sure.
That was very funny. He was invited to President Barack Obama's farewell bash last weekend and could not get in.
That's awesome.
Got to the door. I'm here for the president! Said, can we see your identification, please? Yes, here you go. He gives him the ID. It says Jerome Seinfeld,
on his ID.
No.
It was Jerry Seinfeld on the guest list.
That's awesome.
And because it didn't match up, he was not allowed in. But Jerry short for Jerome!
Didn't know that. How did they not just radio in and boom?
Well, apparently they took him aside, and there was a half-hour wait in the freezing cold there while he had to be...
That's funny.
Revetted, and they had to try to deal with the situation, but eventually he did make it inside. But sources say he was making a lot of jokes about the situation and was all in good humor while waiting to get in. But
the situation was also there?
What? Damn you to hell! Don't encourage him, Allie!
It happened to Ellen, too. She was getting some award. She was being honored by the president a few weeks ago. She forgot her ID. And there were pictures of her just sitting on a bench outside until they worked it all out. They're very serious, apparently, at the White House.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Security apparently is not slack there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Amanda Peet turns 45 years old today. Singer Mary J. Blige also celebrates a birthday today. She's 46. And No Doubt guitarist, and now Dream Car guitarist, Tom Dumont, celebrates his 49th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, I've been working with you for a long time.
Yes.
And I don't think I've ever seen you as excited as you are about this show on Viceland called Cyber War. I mean, usually soccer is the only thing that gets right. you this riled up. But you yeah. won't stop talking about your new imaginary boyfriend, Ben McCoo. What's up?
Well, what happened was over the holiday, mm-hmm. I had a little bit of time. And I mm-hmm. had just recorded Cyber War because it sounded interesting. I didn't sure. know anything about it. And I had like 10 of them. So I started watching the first. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll give it a try, the first one. And then, of course, as you do, well, one more is not going to hurt me.
Right.
They're 30 minutes each. That's not bad.
But why do you keep saying, and then Ben, my best friend, is in Russia. And then in the same episode, my best friend Ben is in.
I don't feel like I called him my best friend.
That's weird, though.
I mean, maybe in the future I will.
Right.
But I don't think I've called him my best friend quite yet.
Well, let's see if we can make that happen. Ben actually joins us on the phone. He's the host of Cyber War on Viceland. Hey, Ben. Happy New Year. Thank you for coming on. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. I'm glad I've got another best friend in L.A.
See? There you go. Look.
It happened like a dream.
That was easy.
I feel like there's never been a better day to have you on than today as a guy who has spent so much of your time talking about hacking. It's everywhere, all the time, always. Is there such thing as a secure computer anywhere on the planet Earth, Ben?
Well, I think actually an intelligence agency would tell you, and I've had sources say that anything or any network is hackable depending on whether you're going to give somebody a team or whatever group enough time to hack it. So, I think the answer is no.
You've done shows on Who is Anonymous, the Sony hack, cyber mercenaries, China hacking. Tell us about Russia. And whether President Obama knows – Obama, sorry. President-elect Trump knows more than all of his people are telling him that Russia was the hacker. Can we know for sure where any hack comes from?
No. I mean, this is always kind of the classic question of attribution, whether or not you can 100% define whether or not a hack came from a specific computer or a country. But the one thing that I'll say about the intelligence report – is it was littered with a lot of jargon that would lead me to believe that they not only have some sort of NSA provided signals intelligence that leads investigators to believe that it was Russia, but I do also believe that they could combine that with human intelligence, so actual classic espionage to confirm this. Because if you look at it, the amount of times that they say Putin ordered, there's just, in my mind, there's no way you would make that accusation if you didn't have some sort of either human intelligence telling you that from inside the Kremlin, or, as someone told me as I was kind of tweet storming about this, they had any number of listening devices available to them that was listening in and telling them this is actually happening. So I think there's multiple reasons why that the intelligence community seems to be quite confident that it was Russia.
Now, you did a show on the Russian hackers, and was it?
I did, yeah.
And it was basically that high-level hackers can work for the government whenever it works in their favor. It's not really Putin saying, putting out the law, but it's just using high-level hackers for whatever he wants, right?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, here's the thing: I was actually just in Russia for about a month. I was there as a lot of this BNC stuff was really spilling, and you know, the one thing about Russia that is important to remember is that this is a surveillance state. This is also an authoritative government, so that anything that happens within it, an intelligence agency has its finger on the pulse of it, especially when it comes to something like black market or black hat hackers who are capable of some pretty advanced intrusion. You know, the rule of thumb in Russia is that anything really powerful or really effective will not go unseen or unsanctioned by the Kremlin.
Hmm. So it's not necessarily the government, it's just the government using whoever's doing good work.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I had actual sources telling me that they were approached by the FSB, which is essentially the Russian intelligence agency, to, you know, purchase their product, whether it was a zero-day exploit. You know, this is something that is highly valued, especially in espionage circles, or, you know, actually asking them to perform operations. So they use it for a variety of reasons, too. I mean, for one, there's a lot of plausible deniability if you use a private company or a private entity for something, because then you can say it wasn't us, or then at least there's layers to saying it wasn't
right,
you.
Right.
And also, you get to use the latest technologies that are available to you, because someone like Russia, while they have an incredibly strong and vibrant cybersecurity community and, you know, technologists that are really talented at creating lots of different types of software, it's not Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is where all the greatest talent goes to, you know, cut their teeth and make their millions. And the NSA has a lot of access to some of this talent before it goes to Silicon Valley. And Russia doesn't have that. So it's a lot easier for them to pay somebody one-off than to employ them as a government hacker. That said, I definitely think Russia's got its own internal hackers that are, you know, government employees just like they are in the United States.
You mentioned a zero day. Explain to people what that is.
So it's essentially a flaw in software, a zero-day vulnerability. Now, when you create an exploit for it, and it actually is jargon for proving that you can, that there's a problem with it, and that it could be used for any other adversary to intrude inside that software. So when you look at something like the iPhone and how the FBI really wanted to break into the iPhone, they were looking very likely for 0 days to get inside of it. And it's, you know, it's essentially like just a slight flaw inside of it that allows, you know, the water to get in.
And people who do that kind of hack don't exploit it. They just sell it.
Quite often they sell it. There's also a lot of just white hat hackers or, you know, security technologists that find them because they get obsessed with a piece of software. And, you know, if they look at something like Facebook, I'm sure, has its own zero-day exploit or vulnerability hunters within their own company trying to make sure that whatever comes up, they're patching it. So there's a lot of different types of people doing it, but if you're looking at it from an intelligence agency perspective, sometimes these are like the most powerful, essentially, torpedoes to get inside a system covertly without anybody knowing it and exploiting it. And if you look at something like Stuxnet, which was this highly advanced piece of malware used against an Iranian nuclear facility in order to physically shut it down and destroy it and prevent it from creating more uranium, that was an extremely useful piece of software that had multiple zero-day exploits inside of it, which points to the fact that an intelligence agency like the NSA, which is so advanced, would be the ones who are responsible for it.
This is the voice of Ben McCoo here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're talking about his show called Cyber War, which is a wide-ranging 16-episode season already completed but available on demand on Viceland. And by the way, there is going to be a second season. We're talking about the ways that people can use hack. There was another story in the news here, Ben, in Los Angeles just a couple of days ago about a school paying a hacker $28,000. It was L.A. Valley College got hacked, and it was another ransomware, like we saw in so many cases in 2016 with hospitals and whatnot. This terrifies me because I feel like this ransomware they could use for the government to do all sorts of crazy things. I mean, there's no way to stop something like this. Do you just see this getting bigger and bigger and bigger?
Well, you know, I think we're in a position right now where cybersecurity is really only making its way into the public consciousness in a very real, obvious way. And to me, it kind of started with the Sony hack. And I think that because Hollywood was involved, people were like, oh, man, this is a real thing. And I think now that you have something like the U.S. presidential election possibly being deeply affected by hackers,
I tend to think that the defensive capabilities of cybersecurity software and cybersecurity companies is going to improve. So I think right now we are at a very low level of cybersecurity literacy, but I think people aren't, you know, people are still clicking on malicious links. And I think, you know, that's something that's always going to happen because in a lot of hacker circles, they'll always say that the biggest vulnerability is the human vulnerability. But I do believe that defenses will increase. And I think right now we're at a point where they're starting to increase. Now, at the same time, oppositely, we have a lot more things going online. I mean, it wasn't 10 years ago that, you know, when you bought a fridge or, you know, a toaster, it didn't have a Wi-Fi signal or software working inside of it. It was a pretty rudimentary, you know, up and down, my toast is brown, but now you can talk to it. So that actually allows things like the Internet of Things to be an actual concept that hackers can use. I mean, even if you look at something like a botnet, recently a hacker was able, hackers were able to take over dozens of Internet of Things, whether it was toasters or baby monitors or whatever, and throw the traffic at places like Twitter and shut it down. So the attackers are increasing their capabilities, but I do think defensively, at least I'd like to think, or at least this is making me sleep better at night, are also improving as well.
Now, Allie has one more question for you based on that.
I'm going to keep the tape over my webcam, correct?
Correct. You should do that. It's actually, you know, something like Dark Comet, which is a very simple, it's what you call a rat for intrusion software into a computer, is not are not hard to perform that exact hack to take over someone's webcam.
Oh. But, is it hard to teach someone how to do that, Ben?
No. Oh, Bean! No!
I'm just asking. I didn't know.
No!
It's good actually, Lord. I hate to say it. It's really, that's not a very difficult hack. In fact, the Syrian government was using these things, was using actually Dark Comet to spy on Free Syrian Army rebels. And it was essentially just like, it's almost like a video game. You pop it up, you type in the email of who your target is, and you create the phishing email link, and then you send it. And then if they click on it, you know, I'm making this a little more simplistic than it is, but then you own their computer and you can do a lot of things. You can grab files, you can turn on the webcam, you can listen to their microphones. I mean, you know, we're in an age now where not everybody could be a spy, but everything could possibly be a spy. So
good times.
Yeah. Ben, I want to ask downer, you, Ben.
I know we're almost out of time here, but Kevin and I were talking off the air about the incredible access that you seem to have gotten. You seem to be able to blend into any group, and Anonymous will talk to you, and ISIS will talk to you, and Russians will talk to you, and all these people. I mean, do you ever have any trouble going to the places and talking to the people that you want to, and why are they so willing to share with you what they're doing?
You know, it's the question I get all the time. I think that there's a couple things at play. I mean, I think being from Vice, we're an approachable group of people, and quite often a lot of these people are young, so I speak their language.
Right.
When I talk to them, they understand millennial, and I understand internet.
Right.
So we're speaking the same language. I mean, at the same time, it can get me into a lot of trouble. I'm facing possible jail time in Canada for speaking with an ISIS source, so the Canadian government's trying to force me to give up that information, which is something I never thought would happen in, you know, Justin Trudeau's Canada. But at the same time,
man, if you're threatened with jail in Canada, I mean,
yeah,
come on,
you did something
of all people, of all places.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it shocking? I'm actually facing this right now. I'm facing up against the federal police force. So we call them the Mounties, but it's essentially our FBIs. I'm in court with them. My second round, I already lost once, but I was in communication with an Islamic State fighter from Canada, and I was producing a number of stories on it, and then they subpoenaed me, essentially, or gave me a production order to give up all of my information on them, which I refused. So, you know, and I always credit my conversations with that guy being, I just essentially reached out to him on a chat app, but I knew where to look. You know what I mean?
Right.
I knew that his Twitter account was linked to a Kick Messenger app, and I knew that I just download the app and I can talk to him. I can send him a message. And there's multiple ways you can, you know, see what the person's up to. You know, the same goes for something like Anonymous. Like, you go into an Anonymous chat den and you could get kicked out pretty quickly because they don't suffer fools lightly.
Well, it's fascinating work that you are doing, and it's so educational. And as we mentioned, there are 16 episodes up covering a lot of things we haven't even gotten to talk about here, the future of war, the race for artificial intelligence. I mean, every episode is as great as the other, and they're all available at Viceland.com. The show is called Cyber War. Ben, I hope we get a chance to chat with you again, and good luck with the case. All right, man?
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And when the show comes out soon, I'll let you guys know.
Please do.
That's great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
When was the last time you guys played Monopoly?
Oh, it's been years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Been a long time for me, too.
Yeah.
Monopoly's been around for 82 years, you guys, and we talked about them last year because, remember, they took a look at their tokens and they said, let's replace the iron, if I remember correctly. They replaced the iron with a cat. They did a big internet vote.
And that was an outrage because I love being the iron.
A lot of people love being the iron. And it was so successful and it brought so much attention to the game. So they kept the Scotty and the battleship and the race car, which is obviously the best, and the top hat and the thimble and the boot and the wheelbarrow. So now they have a cat. All right, so those are the 8 tokens. But what they've decided to do is revamp all of them. In other words,
who needs a thimble?
They may all go away. They're putting it to a vote on the internet, and they have released 56 new ideas for tokens in Monopoly. All right?
I want to be the Velociraptor.
That is one of them, as a matter of fact.
That.
You can be a dinosaur. You can be a bathtub. You can be a hashtag symbol.
Who wants to be a bathtub?
So you can go to votemonopoly.com.
Oh, there's
a
turtle. Wow.
There's a turtle. Yep. Wow. You can pick from 64. So the 8 that they have now and the 56 new ones. And I have a lot of questions about why and how this whole thing is going to work. And aren't they worried about screwing up people's childhood and what's going to happen? So we asked Dave if he could line somebody up for us. And from Hasbro, the parent company that makes Monopoly, Kyle McCallie joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Kyle, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing fine. So this big deal going on with Monopoly right now. The internet is on fire about this.
Yeah, it's time to finally update the game, get it into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. You don't think a lot of people, one of the reasons they love playing Monopoly is because it's the game they remembered that they played when they were kids and their parents before them and going backwards like that?
Well, they need to open up a blog and
right?
get out of the olden times, okay? It's current. Now we live in a current age.
Uh-huh.
Everybody needs to get with it. And that's why they hired me. I am the consultant for Hasbro.
Uh-huh.
I am the Hasbro.
Nope.
I put the bro in Hasbro.
Okay. I see. All right.
And I'm here to stop you old men from ruining a game that everyone could love again if there was just something relevant in it.
Oh, so you think the problem is that maybe young people, you don't think, want to play Monopoly because...
They want to play your Monopoly, okay, old man?
because of the top
Monopoly.
Hat?
That's right. They need a poop emoji. They don't need your top hat.
McDonald's with a poop emoji. Wow. So we go to votemonopoly.com, and if we want to, we can all vote for the old school tokens, but
yeah,
we can also vote.
Old,
right.
You can do that, or you could get with it and
we can
up a blog.
All right. So what are some of these new tokens that you're offering as a replacement?
Cool things.
Like the poop emoji?
A poop emoji.
Mm-hmm.
Motorcycle.
Okay, good.
A car, like a real car, not that old car that you use.
The race car is pretty cool, I got to be honest.
Oh, is it? Looks
yeah.
like looks like something you build in Boy Scouts out of wood. Okay?
Kind of does.
We got like a Maserati car.
Oh,
okay.
Oh.
We've got a cell phone, a computer screen, cowboy hat, which is awesome.
Are you wearing a cowboy hat, Kyle?
I am.
Right?
I'm playing the game right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I'm trying out some new tokens.
Okay.
Oh, this one is great. The man bun.
The man bun.
Silver man bun.
Oh.
It's really cool.
Those are awful.
Let me try this one. Ah, yeah, the cassette tape. Yeah, that's cool.
What? Oh, because hipsters like cassettes now.
Yeah, I think this one's Arcade Fire. We also have other pieces that I think they should have put on the list. They didn't, like the kale. Like a piece of kale.
See, I don't think anybody would want to be a piece of kale.
Shut up, old man. It's
okay.
Kale.
All right.
Wow. A kettlebell?
Okay.
How about some skinny jeans? Do you want to play with the skinny jeans?
No, Kyle.
No.
The beanie?
Nope.
I love the beanie.
Oh, come on.
How about a pair of slippers?
I know a guy.
I'm in.
Clippers versus OKC Monday night. We've got tickets you can win coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll hook you up with another ultimate getaway prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort. And our friend Reese Darby, very funny actor and comedian, is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour first. Have you guys not been to Grilla Mall yet?
Oh, I have. Yeah,
oh.
I did a segment on him when I worked at KTLA.
It's unbelievable,
they're
right?
They're the best.
Grill 'Em All, by the way, how's this for a thing? They were on the cooking channel, and they were named the best thing I ever ate.
I mean, I guess that's pretty good.
I guess that counts as good, right?
Yeah.
They are in Alhambra on Main Street, and they are celebrating their fourth anniversary, and there is a reason why we are bringing all this up that we will get to. But first, let's welcome the man behind the magic. Chef Ken joins us on the Kevin Bean Show from Grill 'Em All. How are you, Chef? Welcome. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Can you tell me, have you been with Grill 'Em All since the beginning?
I have. I came on with them just after they finished filming the show and right before the show aired. So just a couple of months after the whole concept started.
Where did the idea for a heavy metal burger place even come from? Because it's pretty great.
The idea was just kind of a combination of just two of the greatest things ever. And, you know, we just ran with it from there.
Now, tell us some of the exciting events that you have planned for this Saturday.
Oh, wow. This Saturday is going to be really awesome. We're going to have Caton, who is the lead singer from Hyrax. He's going to be doing some DJing throughout the night. We've got lots of giveaways that we're doing.
Good, good. So far, so good.
Lots of burger specials. $4 Four Locos, which is going to be kind of a bit of trouble, I think.
That's good.
And we're also going to be having Sam, the Armenian comedian, come in.
Okay, hold, please.
Wait, hold
Chef
on.
Chef Ken.
Wait.
Hold right there.
You were making so much sense right up until that point.
Now, the Armenian comedian, he's an acquired taste. Do you know him?
I know Sam very well.
You do?
I grew up with Sam, actually. He lived right across the street, and he's my best friend's dad, so I know him very well.
Oh, I'm so envious.
But you're trying to get people to come to the anniversary, Rager, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you look at Sam in the positive column as a draw to get people to want to eat?
You know, it's good to have that comedic relief.
Right.
You know,
and who's going to bring that to you?
Hopefully Sam. I know he's got some fun stuff planned.
So is he doing comedy? Is he doing music? Is it going to be
Mr.
both?
Clown?
What's he going to do?
You know, honestly, I have no idea.
You should check.
Chef Ken.
Listen to us. You should check. Look, here's the thing with the Armenian comedian. He's been on this show for a long time. And slowly, the audience turned against Sam and hated him.
Uh-huh.
And Bean was on board, and Allie was on board, and everybody okay. And then Allie turned on him really quickly, and then Bean turned on him, and then Ralph turned on him. And now, really, I'm the only fan of the Armenian comedian.
Yeah, it's just you, Kevin.
And everybody hates me. So I don't know how that's going to go for you.
It should be fun. And you know,
define fun.
Well, the best part of it is it's going to be at the end of the night, so
after you're closed and all the customers have gone home,
people at least have a couple of drinks in them, so there should be a little glimmer of hope there.
Yeah, that $4 Four Loko is making a lot of sense.
Yeah, that does help. That helps a lot. So you haven't spoken with him about what he has planned. Are you set up to? Is there a stage with a microphone or something? He'll get up and actually be entertaining the crowd, or is he going to be going table to table, or what do you envision?
Well, see, that's the thing. I have spoken to him about what he's going to do, and every time I talk to him, it sounds like it changes just a little bit.
That's because it sounds about right. A whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we don't really have room for a stage, so I think he's going to be doing, he called me the other day, and he's like, oh, give the address to my keyboardist. And I said, keyboardist for what?
Why does Sam want a keyboard?
He said he's got a song about burgers and fries.
All right.
Oh, dear.
That's going to be spectacular.
I feel like we got to send mugs to this or something.
Have to.
Right?
I agree.
Have to capture this. I mean, it sounds like such a great event, except for that one tiny problem with the day.
That's the fly in the ointment right
it
there.
It is. That's the turn in the punch bowl, Chef. Come on.
Well, you know, you got to have a little bit of mystery and excitement for you don't know what the hell is going to happen.
Right. That's why I like him. But everyone hates me for it.
I guess we'll find out. All right.
Well, we're on the same page.
Okay, the fourth anniversary Rager is happening this Saturday starting at 11 a.m. until midnight, 19 East Main Street in Alhambra, and it is the Grill 'Em All. By the way, are you still selling the D. Snyder down there, the peanut butter and strawberry jam and bacon and sriracha burger?
Absolutely. We'll never stop.
That's insane, right? That's a crazy meal.
It's one of the greatest things ever concocted.
Yeah, it's one of the best things I've had in my mouth.
Chef Ken, you're a great American. Continue the great work down there at Grill 'Em All, and I hope you survive Saturday with Sam stopping by there, and much success to you, my friend.
Fantastic. Thank you, guys.
You
so
need
much.
To go to Dr. Good College to understand all of you, you stupid heads.
Right?
Right.
Did you guys see that Golden Showers was trending yesterday?
Yeah.
What was that about? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Hey, we got the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices coming up just after 8 o'clock because it's Wednesday, and that's what we do. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, sir.
Split!
Split.
Right?
Right?
Come on.
Come on.
You're just going to repeat everything
I say?
Just going
to repeat everything I say?
This new movie is coming from M. Night Shyamalan, starring James McAvoy, story of a man with 23 distinct different personalities. And the three girls were kidnapped by that man. And then number 24 is going to show up, and you do not want to be there when 24 gets there. Because you want to split. And that's why they call that. Because the girls are trying to split.
Are you positive it's not split personalities?
It was right in front of me the whole time.
Yeah.
I worked so hard to try to figure out the meaning of the title. We're having a special K-Rock advanced screening on January 17th at the Krikorian Buena Park Metroplex. If you'd like to go, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through, we get a pair of passes to see the movie. Before it's in theaters on January the 20th. Call now. We'll get right back to you.
We'll get right back to you.
What? I heard a guy say that.
Yeah, that guy's an idiot.
He knows how radio works. He's a professional. I thought this was kind of cool. I think they have a sense of humor about it. I'm hoping they do. The Killers, apparently not initially pleased with the fact that Panda Express was ripping them off. I don't know if you heard or not, but Panda Express is giving out fortune cookies. And when you open it up, there's a little slip inside and it says, "Smile like you mean it." And the Killers are like, "Hey, wait a minute.
Hey, hold on.
Wait, that sounds familiar." One of the band's hits, of course, so they had a laugh about it, then tweeted a photo with one of those fortunes and said, "I'm thinking orange chicken for life, and we'll let you off the hook for using our stuff." And then Panda Express tweeted back, "When it comes to orange chicken love, we always mean it." So I'm guessing they've settled their differences, but it's kind of funny, right?
How about that? Someone just had a sense of humor about it.
Didn't automatically file a lawsuit.
Hmm.
And speaking of senses of humor, I blame Allie for this.
Uh-oh.
This is all Allie's fault.
Uh-oh.
Have you seen this new hilarious viral video?
Oh?
I don't know.
The mother
one.
In labor? The woman who's giving birth to a child?
No.
But wait, she's not just giving birth to a child. While she's giving birth, she's got her Chewbacca mask on.
Yes!
Oh.
See? So She's in labor. She's having contractions, but she's got a hilarious Chewbacca mask on. And now the husband took the video, and now it's viral. It's so crazy. Here's a little audio of her writhing in the bed with the mask on.
I can't imagine a baby hearing that outside of the womb would be like, "I want to get out there and see what that noise is." No. I'm staying right in here.
This woman's awful.
In this fluid.
I mean, because there's no reason they did it except to make a viral video.
Yeah.
Right. They're
and
desperately trying to get on
Ellen or something.
Ellen,
right.
On, yeah. on enough attention online so that somehow someone will pay attention to them because their lives are empty.
At that point in their lives, their lives are not empty.
Apparently they're having a baby. Not enough,
yeah.
Kevin.
Wow.
It's not enough that they're going to have a new child and a new life that they need to foster and try to make function in this crazy world.
Wow.
You got to meet and look at me. Please look at me more.
Doesn't that just make you love Chewbacca Mom even more? Because it was so authentic and so real and so filled with joy.
No, yeah. She sat in the parking lot saying, "Look at me, I'm wearing a funny mask.
She's the bringer of all doom.
She's the best.
She opened up the portal to hell.
I don't know if that's true.
I look forward to celebrating her demise. She's the worst of all things.
I'm not possible.
That's how it happens, man. That's how it spreads. Speaking of Star Wars this weekend, don't forget, Felicity Jones will be hosting Saturday Night Live.
All right.
Along with musical guest Sturgill Simpson.
So good.
Sturgill Simpson. He has a jug band, I'm assuming.
You're awful.
He has some sort of banjo-related operation going on. I don't know who Sturgill Simpson is, but...
I think you might like him.
I think you would.
There's a certain...
There he is.
No,
that's not him.
That is not him.
Sturgill Simpson likes to play banjo.
Nope.
There's a certain flavor of country music that you find palatable, Ralph, and I think he would rate right there before.
Me too. I think all those things.
Sorry, what? I think you'd enjoy them.
Why don't you and Slippers just take a couple days off and just heal up, or whatever your problem is, just
guys,
fix it.
I'm on so much NyQuil.
Fix it and then come back.
And Theraflu.
Let's
and
not try
all of
to
it.
Do this, whatever this is.
Doing the best I can.
And they've just announced Aziz Ansari will host the second episode of the new year on SNL, along with the musical guest Big Sean. So, big doings over there on Saturday Night Live.
They do great booking at SNL. Really do.
So you're saying they get celebrities on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, but... Yeah.
Okay.
That is a hot take. It is scorching hot.
Thanks for that input.
I need to stay away from how hot that is.
But I mean, there are a lot of celebrities that I would not be excited to see on SNL. But somebody like Aziz Ansari and Felicity Jones are great choices.
Why do some people tune out?
Because they have wisdom.
Oh, that's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Amanda Peet is 45 years old today. Mary J. Blige turns 46. And Tom Dumont, from No Doubt, and soon to be heard, Dream Car. I like Dream Car. Like,
yeah, how were they
how
last
was
night?
That?
Oh,
you
I'll
went to
you,
the listening
I
party.
I got to the listening party of Dream Car. I couldn't. Oh, wait a minute! My battery died in the rain.
So you were invited to a listening party for Dream Car.
Yeah,
and you didn't.
So the wife and I went to dinner beforehand because we don't get a lot of date nights out. You got little kids. So you spend a lot of time with the kid. You don't get a lot of grown-up time. Mm-hmm. So we said, let's make a thing out of it. So we went to have a nice dinner beforehand and then got in the car to drive to the studio to listen to the new Dream Car music. And dead battery in the rain. AAA, 45-minute wait.
Just what you want.
Just sitting in the rain. Just sitting there saying, I wonder what that music sounds like that people are listening to right now.
Stryker said in the clip he was there.
Stryker was there last night. Did he send in some new Dream Car?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
I'd love to hear it.
All right.
I never meant to cause you any sorrow. Do not believe, sir.
I never meant to cause you any pain.
I think this is Sturgill Simpson.
How starting dare out
with
you?
A it Prince is not. Tribute.
Only wanted one time to see you laughing.
I wasn't expecting this, I have to be honest.
I only wanted to see
that
you laughing.
Not you. Come on.
In the purple rain. Purple rain.
Nope. Nope. No, Dream Car is Tom and Adrian and Tony from No Doubt and Davey Havoc, AFI.
Ah.
It was not that.
Huh.
Of course, I don't know what it was.
Right, because...
Not, so it could be?
Did not go there.
Could it be that, indeed?
Need to go see my buddy Bo Bachman, figure out what's going on with my electrical system. Get that
with the banana mobile?
It's not a banana. It's Grabber Orange.
Right, that's what
it's
I meant.
A classic Grabber Orange Mustang.
That's
what
I meant.
Is. That's what you meant. Mm-hmm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have tickets for you to see the Clippers, by the way. You want to see the Clippers play Oklahoma City at Staples Center, January 16th, plus you qualify to win a grand prize, access to the pregame warm-ups, take photos on the Clippers court, and the Lexus Club passes and parking. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We will take caller 20, and you will win those tickets.
That's a good deal. Free NBA tickets, man. See the Clippers?
Clippers.
All right.
I love
hey,
Clippers.
Reese Darby joins us in 1 hour from here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We love Reese. He's got so much stuff going on right now, too. It's going to be a lot of fun to catch up with him. I'm glad you're in here, Ralph, because it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah, me too. Glad to be here.
So many potential great stories. Every day, I feel like there's another story that I have questions about that I can't wait to get somebody on to talk about. That's why I'm delighted that we're now doing this feature every Wednesday morning.
There are segments on the show that I don't think we are ashamed of
uh-huh.
that we don't do on a weekly basis. And this is the one we picked to have every Wednesday.
Who's ashamed of this?
I'm not.
Everyone?
Love it.
I love it, too.
I love it.
Everyone should be
ashamed. What's on the wheel there, Kevin?
On the wheel, we have the Flock Stars, the all-chicken band that is awesome. We have the horse that avoided death by pretending to be a donkey.
Aww.
Oh, now, see, now that's an intriguing story. I have many questions about that.
Stop flipping us off. That's not necessary.
We have the candy-stealing squirrel. We have Simba, the bunny that plays Jenga like a boss.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Simba uh-huh. is a bunny
right.
that plays Jenga like a boss.
Yes, please.
The U.S. Navy dolphins enlisted to save endangered porpoises.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Wait, dolphins are saving porpoises?
Yep.
Yes, the Navy has enlisted them.
That's right. Hmm. Crazy, right? The feral cats that are taking over Australia, also Whoa. On the wheel. Hmm. So let's do it, people.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Just for the theme song.
Right?
It's the best.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped up, too.
You're torn, Bean? Well, here we go.
I'm torn because there's so many great stories that it could land on. I don't know what I'm rooting for here.
The horse that avoided death by pretending to be a donkey.
Yeah!
I just can't even see how that circumstance would present itself.
Here's the news report.
Here is an amazing story of survival involving a horse named Bubbles, who became a social media darling. There was very little hope that Bubbles would survive after being sold at auction. That is, until the horse took matters into its own hoofs.
On 200 acres in Frisco, Sue Chapman's life mission is to save as many animals as possible. About once a month, Chapman and her nonprofit, Becky's Hope, make the trek to so-called kill pens in North Texas.
Ooh.
Horse slaughter isn't legal in the United States, and as a result, many sick or homeless animals end up on trucks and are sent to Mexico.
Oh.
Last week's mission wasn't to save a horse, but many donkeys, 9 of them. But as they were loading the trailer, they noticed that one animal stood out, way above the crowd.
He didn't try to shoo the donkeys away. He didn't try to you know, fight with them. He just stood there like, I'm a donkey, and you don't recognize that I look any different.
This horse somehow made his way from his pen into Chapman's crew.
He just stood there with them and has since become their protector. And
Chapman knew they were likely his last and only chance.
And there is no way that a frostbitten 25-year-old gelding with, you know, the personality of a giant lapdog was going to end up being rescued by someone.
So she bought the horse that escaped slaughter by blending in with a group of donkeys.
It was as if Bubbles became a symbol of hope for so many of us.
Bubbles.
That is beautiful.
So Bubbles realizes that he's in a desperate situation, but he sees all these donkeys being led into a truck, and he's like, I got it. I'm just going to go over there and pretend I'm a donkey, and boom, it works.
I mean, that's the story.
That's what they're saying.
That's pretty remarkable. All right, I believe we have, I'm not sure.
Sue Chapman.
Is it Sue from Becky's Hope Horse Rescue joining us on the phone on K-Rock right now? Hey, Sue, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, is this Sue Chapman?
No, Sue's not here right now.
Who's this?
I'm Bubbles.
Bubbles!
The horse?
No, I'm a donkey.
Well, you're not a donkey. I mean, you're just a horse.
I mean, whatever they do.
You don't have to pretend to be a donkey anymore. You've been rescued now.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeehaw.
So, how'd you get the idea? Because I think it's brilliant, and I can't believe it worked.
What idea? I'm just a donkey. Don't mind me.
Right, but right. I mean, but you don't have to act like that anymore.
Hey, don't blow my cover!
But I'm saying
I'm going to be killed.
But you're not going to be
now. You're fine now. Sue's going to take care of you. You're golden now.
Sue's worse than the Mexicans.
What?
Oh, no. Don't tell me that. She seemed like such a nice lady in the news report.
Sue eats horses.
Oh, no.
Sue that's, said you're a symbol of hope.
That's why she goes and saves them.
No, Bubbles.
She eats horses. Help me.
This turned very dark.
Oh, dark.
Yeehaw.
Now we've got to rescue Bubbles from this place,
yeehaw,
too.
Yeehaw. Sue's a monster. Somebody help me. Sue's so evil. Oh, my God. She's the worst.
I did not see this coming.
No. All right. Hey, hang in there, Bubbles. We're coming for you, buddy.
Oh, Sue's the worst. I mean, y'all.
What happened Friday, Kevin?
Well, Friday I was starting to feel a little sick. So I took some NyQuil and I took a nap. And I thought, this is going to knock it out. I'll be fine. And when I woke up, it was 6:21. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, I'm an hour late for work. This is horrible because it's dark at 6:21, you know, p.m.
Sure, as it is in the morning.
When I wake up in the morning, right? So I thought, wow, this sucks so much. And I was immediately mad at Bean because I don't remember which one of us came up with the rule, but I blame it on him just because we came up with a rule that if somebody sleeps in, you don't call them. Because it's way worse if you sleep in longer and then you wake up. It's just, it's torturous.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's hilarious to everybody else, but it's more,
so much funnier had you woken up at 6:21 a.m. on a work day and had missed the first hour of the show than rather than having us call you at 5:30 saying, hey, where are you?
Right, exactly. So I was angry at Bean for coming up with that rule because that sucks so much.
Right.
So then I went to the bathroom. I was like, oh, do I have time for a shower? Always have to shower. So I jumped in the shower for, I don't know, 10 seconds.
Okay.
I still felt pretty crappy, but I was like, I can't believe I'm this late.
Yeah.
So then I put on, I dressed, and I ran to my car, and I
in
got
your slippers.
In my, no, I had shoes.
Shoes, all right, okay.
I'm a crazy man that way.
Right.
So I ran and got in my car, and that's when I realized, looking at the clock, that it was 6:21 p.m.
Oof.
And not so much 6:21 a.m.
Could you, at that point, at least celebrate a little? Or were you like, I am so out of my mind right now, I just have to go back to bed?
Out of my mind, go back to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just, I was miserable.
Yeah.
But you were but
it took so much
you were
energy.
Sick, it but took happy so much. That you, happy that it wasn't a work day and that it was not only nighttime, but it was Friday nighttime. So you didn't even have to get up the next day.
I mean, that did help.
Right.
Some. But I had... It takes so much energy to get from bed to the car in maybe a minute.
Yeah.
With a shower involved. I mean, I was multitasking.
Well, thank you for showering. I mean, we all appreciate it.
So then I got in my car and I was like, oh, dear Lord, it's 6:21 p.m. And then I thought, hey, I can't be the only one this has happened to.
No.
Right?
No.
Allie?
I did it. I did it when I was doing morning news and I was living in Park City, Utah. And I woke up out of what I guess apparently was a nap, but I didn't know, at 5:30.
Because when you're asleep, it's hard to gauge how much time has passed.
Absolutely.
You honestly don't know if you've been asleep for an hour or 6 hours when you wake up.
And the NyQuil doesn't help.
NyQuil doesn't help. And the fact that I was used to working, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning is my normal wake-up time. So I wake up. I look at the clock. It's 5:30. I immediately run to the bathroom. I'm putting on pants. I'm putting on makeup. And I call the assignment desk to say, oh, my God.
You called work.
I called work. And I said, oh, my God, I am so sorry. And I thought to myself, well, that's weird that this guy's working right now. But no big deal. So I explained to him. And I said, I'm going to call my photog and let him know that I'm running late. And he did the absolute right thing and said, it's okay, Allie. We'll call him. And I said, okay, I'm just going to call and let you know how I'm doing on the road.
So
and
he realized?
He knew what was happening. And he's like, let's F with her. So I said, okay, put on my pants. And I'm in my driveway. And I'm looking in the rearview mirror. And I'm just about to start doing my makeup as I'm pulling out of the driveway. And I'm like, it's a little lighter than you. What? So I called my photog and said, have they called you? And he goes, honey, it is 5:30 at night. What is going on? It was the most confusing because you're now at that point so hopped up on adrenaline.
Yeah.
And I was scared. I wasn't sure what was happening. It was awful. It was the worst feeling of my life.
That's
I then called back the assignment desk and was like, really? how long were you going to let this go?
The assignment desk did the right thing.
Oh, no. He said, I was going to give it 20 more minutes. And I said, 20 more minutes? I'd be down the canyon. What a dick. He was the best. So, yeah, I know that feeling. And I can't imagine that feeling on NyQuil. Must be a million times worse.
I mean, you're just completely foggy. And that, like, yeah. I'm not foggy enough to begin with.
That's true.
Right? I mean, maybe I shouldn't be taking NyQuil even.
Yeah.
But,
I wonder if we open up the phones on this at 1-800-520-1067. I wonder if there are – I'm sure it has happened to a lot of people. But I wonder if we could find people who actually drove to work and then found out as they walked in the door that they weren't supposed to be there.
I mean, I was 1 second. It was just that glance at the clock where I saw that it was p.m. Mm. I was 1 second from starting the car.
And I bet time changed. Not only that, I bet people have gone to work on a Saturday, on a Sunday, just completely thrown off by a schedule and realize it's the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
All right, so that's what we're looking for. It's your lost time stories at 1-800-520-1067. You woke up and thought you were supposed to be somewhere, but it turned out you were out. You were 12 hours early, or it was the wrong day, or whatever the deal is. You heard what happened to these guys. We want to hear from you, too, at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. Comedian actor Rhys Darby joins us in the 9 o'clock hour here on K-Rock, and stand by for another chance to win that trip to go skiing at Crested Butte in Colorado. We'll give that away in minutes, too. Listen to this email from Steven. I'm a machinist. When I first started working from 6 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., I would wake up from naps on Saturdays, holidays, every time, freak the F out. One Saturday, I drove all the way to work. I thought it was a little strange that there was no traffic on the freeway, but then when I got there, I realized the parking lot was empty because, of course, they were closed. I drove home in shame.
Good times.
What happened to Kevin on Friday is he woke up, it was nighttime, and he thought it was the next morning, and he got dressed and got ready to leave for work before he realized
it
wasn't.
In a panic. It was 6:21. I was like, how could I be so late?
So we're taking your calls if it's happened to you at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Greg. He's in Simi Valley. Get us going on line 2, please.
Hey, Greg.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. This happened to you?
Yeah, I just got done working like 19 hours. I was probably awake for a total of 28 hours. Took like an hour and a half nap. And I heard my wife in the shower, and I said, oh, no, the kids, I got to get them ready for school. We're so behind. So the kids were asleep. They went to bed at, you know, 8:30. They're only asleep for like an hour. Both up out of bed. I'm both getting ready. I'm telling them, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And then they're dressed, ready to go, walking down the stairs. My wife's all, what are you doing? Don't tell me you woke the kids up. I'm like, yeah, they got to go to school. They're going to be late. Because I thought she was getting ready for, I thought it was already the next day.
Right.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's the thing about that panic, though, is you don't stop and think about it.
No.
Once your mind is locked in to the fact that you were late for work, you don't question it. So you go wake up your kids, and your wife gets
and
angry.
And get them dressed.
That's sad. All right, thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Lizette. She's in Bell Line 3, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Lizette.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
This happened to you?
This happened to me as an 8-year-old little girl. I used to walk myself to school because, you know, I was independent and stuff. And I woke up on a Saturday morning, freaked out, dressed up, ran to school, and I just didn't make any sense because there was no kids. The school was closed. I went to the local liquor store, and I was like, why is the school closed? And they're like, Mija, it's Saturday. What's going on? And I'm Mija. Like, oh, wow.
Mija.
Tough news for an 8-year-old.
And you were like, just give me something stiff.
She's like, I'm an independent woman.
Is that how it going on? All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Jay, line 8. He's in Mira Loma.
All right. Hi, Jay.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You woke up and thought you were late for work.
Yeah, I had just gotten home from picking the kids up from school, and I laid down to take a little nap. Woke up at 5:30 in the evening in a complete panic, thinking I was late for work. I worked security for a multi-billion dollar corporation.
Oh.
Get into my uniform, get all the way down to work. As I get there, the CEO of the company is walking out of the doors, and he says, Jay, what are you doing here today? He's from South Africa. What are you doing here today? You know, it's your day off. And I realized it was, in fact, my day off. I thought I was super late for work.
That's pretty sweet.
But how awesome that you showed up on your day off and the big boss saw you. That's like,
wait, is that good?
That's a feather in your cap, totally, man.
Is it? Although he laughed his ass off at me.
Yeah. Oh, if he found out you were there by mistake, okay.
Yeah, I think Jay probably told him that he thought it was, he didn't know it was his day off. Yeah, you're not sharp. You're not sharp when you wake up like that. You just are convinced that you're late, and that's it.
The funny thing is that the corporation I work for is the world's largest energy drink company.
I don't know how that's relevant, but thank you for adding it.
Jay with the humble brags, we get it.
Or did he mean that he shouldn't have overslept because he should have been on so much energy drink that he would never sleep? What was the point of that?
I'm not positive.
Okay. Let's try, how about Jamie, Anaheim Line 7. Let's see what's going on with Jamie.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
I actually had two sleep phenomenons where I lost time, and it was also involving like a server nightmare. This happened during high school, and I used to play football, and I did AP classes and everything, so I had a really rigorous, full schedule all the time. And after practice, a lot of times I'd have to immediately get dressed and go to work, whatever. And there was one time when I had gotten home, I just passed out. I was exhausted. And I woke up only about an hour later. It was about 6:30 or so. And I totally thought it was already the next day. So I thought I had... I had a server nightmare. I thought I had actually gone to work in my dream, and so I thought it was already the next day. So coupled with that, with the last time, I was freaking out because we had early morning weightlifting, and I thought I was already going to be late. The coaches are going to rip on me, and I was one of the captains for our team, and it was horrible. So I get dressed in a fly. You know, grab my books, grab my bag and everything, throw it in the car, and I'm just about to pull out of my driveway, and my older sister was coming home from something, and she saw me getting ready to leave in a flurry, and she's looking at me kind of questioning. She's like, where are you going? And I told her I was heading to class. She's like, well, that'd be kind of weird because it's 6:30 at night.
Yeah. Was your sister's name Lisette, and did she just come from the liquor store?
No.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jamie. Wow, I didn't think it would happen this much. It
happens a lot. Here's a listener who goes by the name Lady Bearcat. I'm not sure what kind of photo shoot, but she said, I got my hair and my makeup done, and I drove to Redlands from Orange just to discover that the photo shoot was the next day. I was a day early. Yeah, it's easy to get screwed up. All right, we got time for one more. 1-800-520-1067. Which one you like?
Let's go to Eric in Montebello. Hi, Eric.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
So this was like this was a while back.
Okay.
And I pretty much blame you guys for this whole disaster.
This is our fault.
Because what happened was I was working for about 3 days straight. It was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then I had a schedule from – it was bouncing around from 1 to 5, 5 to 1, so I just kept hearing 1 to 5, 5 to 1. And then the last day, I had to be there at 5 in the morning. Well, what happened was I actually slept on the day before. I slept until, like, I don't know, maybe like 12 in the afternoon. So, or no, I went to sleep at 12 and then woke up like at 5 p.m.
Right.
So now I'm on my way to work at 5. I knew it!
You knew it!
I'm on my way to work at 5 p.m. and I hear Kevin and Bean, so I'm like, oh, everything is...
Okay, is back when we used to do Cinco de la Tarde. We used to air us in the afternoon.
We've lost the thread of this call, Kevin. Don't even try to save it.
106.7 K-Rock. Yes. What?
Black is better.
What?
Black licorice is better than red.
Oh, that's absurd.
That's insanity. Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. You're crazy.
Licorice is what licorice is supposed to be. It's licorice. Then red vines and Twizzlers, everything comes along. Well, let's change
it
into something else that's not licorice.
They made it edible.
It's nothing. It's fine in a pinch when you got nothing else, but black is preferable because that's what licorice
is. Not even a bit.
Yes, that's what it
not
is.
Not even a little bit.
It's licorice, and that's what you're supposed to eat.
That's unedible, the black. Is it unedible or inedible?
Inedible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You hear the leaf blowers behind Bean?
Sure do. Makes for good listening.
Rob is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
We're talking about licorice. That's what's going on.
Okay.
Where have you been?
I'll give you your licorice thing, but red vines or Twizzlers?
Out of the two non-licorice licorice products?
Yeah.
I would go red vines over Twizzlers.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Kevin?
Same.
Bean?
But absolutely. Okay. Whistlers are a weak, weak facsimile of red vines.
But given a choice.
Red vines over black.
Go
any
with
day.
OG
all
black
day.
Licorice.
All day.
Black licorice, which
no.
is what it's
wrong,
supposed
sir.
To be.
Wrong.
Licorice is awesome.
Wrong, sir.
You don't like the flavor of licorice at all? Licorice
no.
drops? Licorice
no.
candy? Nothing?
No.
I like red vines.
That's not licorice! Put on your slippers and go find out what licorice is.
Why is he got to put on his slippers?
He will be slippers to me from now on. He is, that, he will be slippers. That will be his new nickname. Yo, slippers, what's going on? He's going to be slippers. Because I didn't know a man walks around in the world wearing slippers. Well, goes to the supermarket pushing a cart around wearing slippers like a mental kid.
What about restaurants, Kevin? Ever
I mean,
do that?
Occasionally.
Yep. He said that off the air, and I was
man
like,
man
no.
wears slippers to restaurants.
Occasionally.
Did you escape from a home?
But they're so they're not like slippers. They sort of look like shoes. So you, I can
no,
get
they
away
don't.
With it.
Well, they trust me.
Do.
Nah, trust me.
They
you know, they look
do.
Like slippers.
They sort of, but they don't.
Here's an idea. If they're sort of shoes, put on some freaking shoes then.
Kevin, God damn it.
Going out in the world, slippers.
I don't know that I like slippers as a nickname.
Well, then you shouldn't. Be out there in the world wearing slippers. Anybody watch any of that Donald Trump news conference just going on? Fascinating stuff.
We tried.
Fascinating.
And there was a guy, and then Donald Trump stood up, and then he was gone.
Donald Trump had two opening acts.
Yeah.
Played for about 15 minutes, and then brought his lawyer on, and she closed. So it was not much of a concert, I got to tell you.
Hmm.
But my favorite part by far was when they presented him with the... You may have seen this... story about this two-page addendum to the intelligence report saying that the Russians may in fact have some incriminating evidence that they are blackmailing President-elect Trump with
mm-hmm.
regarding his involvement with some professional ladies of the evening
mm-hmm.
in his hotel suite, which had cameras, hidden cameras and microphones.
Right.
Engaging in some potentially embarrassing sexual acts.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump said, listen, I know very well what goes on in Moscow, okay? I tell other people, don't do anything, because there's cameras in all the rooms, and there's microphones, and you can get captured doing things. I am very, very careful. No one catches me doing anything. Billy Bush busted you in a bus when you knew you had a microphone on. You want us to believe that you're the James Bond? That you're so dialed in to the ways of espionage.
His favorite color is gold. Everything he makes is gold.
Gold finger.
That's all I'm saying.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Gold showers, new Bond villain. All right, let's talk, shall we? Ray J's in the hospital.
Ray J's a name I haven't heard in a long
Ray
time.
Ray J is a big star, Kevin. I'll have you know, he is currently one of the celebrity Big Brother contestants in the UK.
Okay.
Why don't they do that in the States? Why isn't there a celebrity Big Brother in the United States of America?
I think they... Didn't they try it?
I don't recall.
Oh. I don't think so with celebrities. Oh. He's also on another show that's getting ready to debut that I'm seeing commercials for, where he is a celebrity chef, Ray J
what?
Is. Along with Lance Bass and a bunch of other people that all have to try to cook for other people.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a reality show on Fox with the Dice Clay and...
Right. That's the one.
That celebrity Big Brothers gets big numbers.
Enormous.
And they pay a ton.
Well, have you know, he's gotten the most ever paid for a celebrity for the celebrity Big Brother.
Wow,
Ray
he's not
J.
even that big a celebrity.
Getting paid $1 million to participate.
Good Lord.
Wow.
But here's the thing, he may be thrown off the show. Because he got a really bad toothache a couple days in.
Right.
And he said, I need to get this taken care of. And they said, if you leave, you leave. There's no, you don't come back. That's the premise of Big Brother, is you're locked in a building
right.
for X number of days with these people. And that's part of the social experiment. You can't go out and take care of some business and come back in again. It's not fair to the other contestants.
But a medical emergency.
Well, that's what they were saying. How much of a medical emergency is it? So they brought a dentist in. And gave him some painkillers, and then Ray J said, no, I want to go to the hospital.
Hospital?
Yeah. Well, I'll let him tell you himself.
I end up in the hospital, 45 minutes, they give me like some nutrition, and I eat some McDonald's, and I'm cool. Like, I'm literally fine. I'm ready to go back in the house, and they won't let me back in.
You got some nutrition, you got some McDonald's.
She's got a toothache.
That's what I'm saying. I don't buy it.
So I had a McGriddle, and my tooth was fine.
I had some McRibs.
What
and
the hell?
A chocolate shake.
That's the strangest explanation ever.
And a hot apple pie. And now I'm good. And now they won't let me back in.
I end up in the hospital. 45 minutes. They give me like some nutrition, and I eat some McDonald's, and I'm cool. Like, I'm literally fine. I'm ready to go back in the house.
Right.
And they won't let me back in.
Yeah. So he could lose the $1 million.
Wow, he's being ripped off.
Getting for not being on the show. And now they're saying they may sue. They may sue Celebrity Big Brother if they don't let him back into the house and pay him his $1 million that he contracted for.
That's amazing.
You'd have a better case, I think, if you didn't go out and go through the drive-thru once you got out of the Big Brother house. Didn't seem like quite so much an emergency then. Mammoth cheese. And Grimace was there. Hamburglar. Got some nutrition.
Don't you think he would run through that in his head and go, no one's going to buy this?
I shouldn't say it.
Maybe I shouldn't say it out loud.
Yeah. You claim you don't think Ray J is the sharpest knife in the drawer?
I end up in the hospital.
Right. Yeah.
45 minutes. They give me like some nutrition.
Good.
And I eat some McDonald's.
Right.
And I'm cool. Like, I'm literally fine. I'm ready to go back in the house.
Cool.
And they won't let me back in.
Yeah.
If I need nutrition, I go to the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
It's all
It's all part of the treatment. Today's celebrity birthdays. Amanda Peet's 45 years old today. Singer Mary J. Blige celebrates her 46th birthday. And guitarist of No Doubt and soon to be heard, Dream Car. Tom Dumont celebrates his 49th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Writer, actor, comedian, I'm just going to say it, comedy legend, Rhys Darby joins us in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Rhys?
Good. You know, I'm as good as a legend can be, right?
Exactly. How you been? What have you been up to? I mean, I know we saw you not that long ago, just a few months ago. Have you been super busy? How were your holidays? What's going on with you?
Well, of course, I went back to New Zealand to get a bit of summer.
Sure.
Because we go back there for Christmas. So I went back there for 3 weeks and just enjoyed some beach action, you know.
Some bitch action?
A beach.
You said beach.
Oh, beach.
Oh, I was like, well,
they might go hand in hand with Rhys. You don't know.
I don't know how Rhys rolls.
He's happily married.
Okay. Yeah. I don't just...
And, yeah, you know, a bit of boating.
Are you a conquering hero when you go back home? Are there, is it Beatlemania with thousands of fans waiting for you at the airport as you arrive?
well, back in the day, you know, but... not so much these days. This, he's back, Harry. G'day, mate.
It's cooled off a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
We knew you'd come back at this time of the year. Yep. We've already turned the lights on the Christmas tree, so.
So they're not as impressed with you anymore?
What
does it take?
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm going to have to go to space. That's what everyone's sort of waiting for back there now.
They're all waiting for you to go to space?
That's the only thing I haven't done.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's sort of why I'm sticking around in the US. I'm looking at, you know, what's happening with your space situation, whether I can get in on that.
Yeah. I think that's a good point.
I don't think there's a lot going on in our space situation right now.
Well, you know, just give it 6 months and see what happens politically.
And
then I might end up going to somewhere else that's got a space situation, India or China.
I think that's a very reasonable plan, sir.
You know, and just get my way in there. I want to be the first sort of entertainer in space.
I see.
Get on a ship.
Has anyone from Australia or New Zealand been an astronaut yet?
In their bedrooms. I don't know officially.
Okay.
There's been a few plays written.
Well, you're the man.
I don't think plays are the same thing going into space.
Make-believe. But is it even out there anyway, you know?
Good question.
People have written books and people have disputed it.
Have disputed space?
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
Have we been on the moon?
Well, we know the moon's there. But
have we been there?
Well, we haven't.
No, but she's saying some people are
humans?
Denying.
Oh, yeah. No, we've definitely. Yeah, we have. For sure.
Okay.
But I'm talking.
Are you willing to give us that one? Okay.
I'll give you the moon.
Okay, that's the moon.
But my question is it actually in space?
Where would it be?
I mean, it's not on Earth, so anything that's not on Earth is technically in space.
A lot of this sort of stuff I'm saying is beyond you guys.
That must be what it is.
That's very true all the time,
I think. Yeah.
Okay. I'm talking about alternate realities.
I see.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this conversation even happening right now? Because I'm hoping no.
Oh, he's hung up. He's hung up.
So, Reese, how's the career going?
The courier mm-hmm. job?
Yeah. You're still working?
Yeah. It's going great. You know, I've got stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
Things coming out.
Right.
I guess this Friday we've got the series of unfortunate events, the Lemony Snicket show on Netflix.
It's coming out on Netflix on Friday, right?
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal because so many people are into those books. Yeah. It was kind of like an age group just before mine, like, you know, I don't know. There's some definitely adults now that were like obsessed with those.
My wife read every single one of them. What are there, like 13 books or something like that? She read them all.
Yeah, it must be.
13. Loves them.
So now they've made this great, I mean, I've never seen a budget like it with Netflix making this show look, you know, exactly how people imagine it looking in the book.
It seems like that would take a lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. And I said, it was a huge set I was involved in. I said, what's happening with all this stuff once we finish this episode? You know, because it's a, and they said, just do it. Just gets chucked out.
Just throw it away.
You've created an entire building here with all these amazing details. And we're not going to use it again after next week.
Did you take some of it?
Well, I said, can't you send it somewhere, you know, to a school or something?
Yeah.
No, there's no point in that, is there?
they just burn it down.
This is the worst story you've ever told.
Well, you know, Netflix has been, they've been very popular for a number of years now, and they're not afraid to spend money. I mean, you know, The Crown that just won the Golden Globe a couple of nights ago is a Netflix series.
Yes.
And it's the most expensive television show ever made.
Yeah.
10 episodes, $130 million to make 10 episodes of television.
Unbelievable, you know.
And it sounds like they're still spending big, if what you're saying about the Lemony Snicket.
Oh, yeah. They've got limitless amounts of money, I think. I mean, that's not true.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible.
That's what I was told. The guy making me coffee said, limitless, mate. Absolutely limitless. I never saw that guy again.
Some of the photos that I have seen,
coffee was cold.
And maybe they came from you. You appear to be in scenes with Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
And Catherine O'Hara.
Yes.
And Don Johnson.
You're talking about legends. You know,
yeah.
Listen to those names you've just listed off.
And by the way, Joan Cusack's in the show, Patrick Warburton, bunch of other Alfred Woodard, phenomenal cast. Are you the type of person who you get a chance to hang out with a Neil Patrick Harris or Don Johnson or something? Do you have a million questions for them? Do you fanboy out on your co-stars?
No. Look, couldn't give a stuff.
Really?
That's my motto. Yep. If I'll meet anyone famous, I'm like, oh, g'day, mate. Excuse me. I'm very cool. I go the other way. But you've got to be careful not to go too far the other way because they have a bit of a suspect. Oh, he knows who I am. Why is he not looking at me? You know. And so I give them a little look. It makes them know, I know who you are, mate, and I respect you. But to be honest with you, I just want to shove past you there because I've got to grab a donut. So that's my...
So
that's
you put
my...
him in their place first thing. You let Neil Patrick Harris know who's boss.
It's just, look, it's a mutual thing.
It's mutual.
I'm a legend as well.
Right.
Uh-huh. So it's
of course.
Legend upon legend.
Yeah. Sure. You get it, like within a second, that look.
We give each other a look.
Yeah.
Okay. So does he know you're going into space? Because I think that puts you in a different category.
It's going to tip me over.
Yeah.
It's going to tip me over.
That's
but I'm hoping he's not listening to this, you see.
Okay.
We've had NPH on the show a couple of times, and he's a great guest. He's always so delightful and so fun. And it seems like he's the kind of actor who can do anything in terms of the singing and the dancing and the comedy and the drama and everything. I mean, he really is like the complete package. Right?
Classic song and dance man. I mean, you know, a real well rounded, especially in this. Have you seen some of the photos? Entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because he's dressed as a very well-endowed lady at one point. You can imagine. I mean, this show is so perfect for him with the amount of characters that he portrays. And wow, what a treat for the viewers.
And who is Charles, Reese? What's Charles's role with Lemony Snicket?
Well, he's sort of works for Sir, who is I don't want to give too much away. I think that's Don Johnson's character in the lumber mill. And I do everything for Sir. His actual name is Sir.
Okay.
I don't know whether he probably changed that by deed poll. I don't know whether he was born Sir.
Hmm.
But, you know, these are things fans will look into, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, so I get him his meals and I ride him about on his special bike, like a rickshaw rider, you know, or tuk-tuk. What do you call them over here?
A rickshaw?
A rickshaw?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Which I did in real life, by the way. I was a rickshaw rider.
No, you weren't.
Back in Christchurch. I thought I told you guys. Remember one of my earlier jobs? I gave it up because, you know, just carting people from, drunk people from nightclubs, you know. Oh, it's you know, it's good for the thighs.
Right.
But to be honest with you.
Not worth it.
I thought, oh, look, these guys are having fun, you know, getting drunk from various locations. And look at me, just sort of helping them out. Yeah. Yeah. I ditched the bike in the end, left it on someone's front lawn, and I thought, stuff it. And I went and had a drink myself. Wasn't getting paid anyway. I don't know what deal I was under there. The guy said, it'll be good for your legs. Man, I guess it paid off in the end because I've got...
Because look at your legs.
Killer legs.
Right. Right.
You know? I'm like a young Sean Connery from Thunderball with these pins.
Right.
Sure. Some terrific good getaway reference. Sticks.
Terrific right. reference.
It's amazing the things that you do.
Right. Well, that's the unmistakable voice of our friend Reese Darby here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events is available on Netflix this Friday. Can you hang out for another moment? Reese, we'd like to take a break and come back and talk Voltron and some other things with you.
Yeah, absolute.
We'll do that coming right back on K-Rock.
Put up a Twitter poll after our last conversation with Ralph about the licorice versus the red vines.
Yeah.
In case you're curious, Kevin, hundreds of votes in already.
Mm-hmm.
It's overwhelmingly red vines over black licorice.
Yeah, right there's now. No question.
Horatio writes in, if you like black licorice, you have a black soul.
Yeah, that's true.
Says.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently we're living in a red vines nation, at least listening to this. How about you, Reese Darby, red vines or black licorice?
It really sums up America right now, doesn't it?
Does, I mean, doesn't it, though?
See, wait, is that good or bad?
I don't think it's good. Okay. You know? Let's get back to the black licorice. You know, a bit of soul, that's what I'm talking about.
Maybe that's the problem, black we moved too far away from our black licorice roots now.
Have you heard of Black Knight?
No, what is that?
That's the licorice, man.
Really?
Black Knight?
Black Knight is a long way from home.
Is that a commercial for that?
No, I just did that. But it's, I mean, licorice. It's, not everyone can eat it. Some people have got issues.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Bean, did you put a not everyone can eat it option on there?
No, I didn't put that as an option on the poll, I'm sorry to say. Are there a lot of New Zealand exclusive type foods? Like when I go to England, I'm always amazed at how many different sorts of foods and candies and things they have that we've never seen on the shore. Same thing in NZ?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've probably heard of pineapple lumps. They're a big one.
Haven't.
No. Okay. Well, they're not that big then. we've tried to push them.
What is a pineapple lump?
It's a pineapple candy covered in chocolate.
Oh, that sounds good.
Well, that does sound good.
Yeah, hey. Very nice. Of course, we've made Hokey Pokey ice cream. We're famous for that.
Sure.
K-bars. Have you heard of them?
It's a
hard bar.
No.
With a K on it. It'd be quite good for K-Rock. You could get a promotion there.
Give away some K-bars.
Yeah.
I like it.
Uh-huh. Minties.
Nope.
Nope. Okay. and then, you know, I don't want to give all the names away. I'm not
sure.
Getting paid for this, but we do have our own candy for sure.
Okay.
But a lot of us just go for the fruit.
Great ad right there.
Great fruit.
Just go for the fruit.
I mean, but don't bring any fruit in with you.
Right,
that's there,
sure.
Because you're instant jail there.
Instant jail?
Well, yep. If people are caught smuggling in fruit... Then it's like, hey, come with me. What's that apple? Is that an apple in your pocket? And, so then you get a bit of... I think it's either instant jail or just hand over the apple and go and sit over there for a bit.
And wait it off.
Yeah, it's one of those. There's a cool down.
So there's no real jail.
There's a cool-down period. There's a cool-down period if you're caught with a fruit. Because you've got to air out your pocket.
Yeah,
anything residues from the fruit that might have been in on your jeans.
What? And you got to teach that guy a lesson too. Right?
What the F are you talking about?
All right, Reese. Before we run out of time, so we mentioned that Lemony Snicket is coming out on Netflix this Friday.
Yeah,
8 episodes. You're not in all of them though, right? You're in a few.
No, I tried to get in all of them, and they said, right. "No, you're finished here, mate."
They defied. Okay. The Wrecked TV show, that's also coming back?
Yeah, Wrecked. I'm looking forward to that second season.
If you haven't seen that, that's on TBS. That's a sort of a it's like a comedy version of Lost.
Okay,
yeah, nice. We crash land on this island. We're isolated from the rest of the world. It's a whole bunch of people that don't really get on,
mm-hmm.
and then you get to see their backstories.
And where was season one?
Season one, we shot that in Puerto Rico.
Okay,
and then season two, it's a big secret where we're filming.
Okay,
it's Fiji.
All right.
I shouldn't have come
here, please.
I'm being arrested. Check my jeans.
It's going to be a cool down
period. Got an apple.
How about Voltron? Is that still a thing?
That's we're filming that in the Caribbean.
What?
Yep.
Nothing you're saying is true.
It's an animated show.
Zero things you're saying are true.
No, it's in space, of course. Voltron coming back on the 20th. If you haven't seen that, I mean, what's wrong with you? The toys are out now. I play Karan, the royal advisor and co-pilot of the castle ship.
Okay. And that's also on Netflix, so that's a week from Friday.
It's another Netflix one?
Mm-hmm.
God, they should be paying me, these guys.
They should be at this point. I think we have a clip of Rhys Darby and some of his work on Voltron. Check it out.
Let's check the Rift X positioning monitor to see where this wormhole is taking us.
Karan, we're okay.
What are you talking about? We've lost all the lions.
We've just smashed into a black void, don't you remember?
Hmm?
What happened to the mice? They've transformed. Karan?
Why are you looking at me like that? Do I have a boogie stuck in my mustache again?
So they take it very seriously. And lastly, how about your monthly residency at the Largo? Is that still an ongoing thing? Because the last time you were in, you were telling us you were doing that.
Yes. Now, I started that, you know, when I didn't have much work on.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that I do quite a few shows and things, you know, trying to find a gap to do what I love doing best, which is the live stuff, is becoming, you know, harder and harder. But here we go. February is happening. I'm at the Largo at the show saying Funny Things Society is back. And that's so if you haven't seen me live yet, please come down to the Largo, the Coronet.
What's the just any day in February? Or
any day of your choice. Just give us a call and I'll come down there. Please leave a message. You know, my number, 0800 Darby's the one.
The 15th race is at 8:30 p.m.
Oh, yep, that's just coming, has it? Okay, yes. The 15th?
Just booked it.
Yep.
Okay, that's when we'd like you
guys
to be there, please.
Thank you. I'll be willing to do that for you. I will be performing there. And I do characters, I do stand-up, and I have guests. And, what a laugh. It's a good laugh.
It sounds
you
like a lot of fun.
Spin the wheel?
I spin a wheel!
Yeah,
you have seen the show? I do this bit at the end, which is the discussion group. And no one else does this. Now, don't steal it. But my idea is I have the comics who are performing. We all sit on stage together,
mm-hmm.
and I have a spinning wheel full of subjects, and I spin it, and then we just riff off the subject.
Whatever subject it lands on.
Yeah, we just do some making stuff up, and you know, and the audience love to see these comic minds, you know, working in front of them at 100 miles an hour, or in some cases, not much. And then you'll see the odd comic going, he'll resort to material, you know. Because he
is that the curse?
You can look at
him
and go, oh, come on, mate, you wrote that last week. Or even worse, 10 years ago. I've got it on DVD. Can we just talk it up? So it's a bit of fun at the end there and a rollicking good time by all.
Well, it sounds like it. Wednesday, February 15th at 8:30, you can buy tickets to see Rhys Darby on stage at the Largo at largo-la.com. Tickets available just $30. That sounds like super fun. All right, Rhys, great to catch up, my friend. Enjoy all of your travels.
Thank you so much.
To New Zealand and to Fiji and all the other places you go. Please come back and see us again when you're alive and in America.
Absolutely. always a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Rhys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
I know this seems too good to be true, but we have another Ultimate Getaway prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado to give away. Doesn't it seem like this is the type of thing you should have to qualify for?
Yes.
And then like a month from now, there's a grand prize drawing?
It's amazing.
It's too good a prize.
Yeah, it's too good a prize to just open up the phones, but that's what we're going to do at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 right now. You win from Alaska Airlines round-trip airfare tickets from LAX to Crested Butte. You get three-night hotel accommodations, lift tickets, and ski rentals. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Ralph is here now for a final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
What?
What's going on, buddy?
What?
Just Donald Trump closed out his first press conference.
as president-elect with his TV catchphrase, you're fired?
What?
No.
Yeah.
What was the context?
So, just so you know, I am going to put all my business dealings in the hands of my sons. I will not be dealing with any of it. And hopefully they'll do a good job. Hopefully they'll be good. And if they don't, when I come back, when it's all over, I'm going to say, you're fired.
That didn't happen.
That happened!
In real life, though.
Happened!
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And then he waved and walked off the stage like, boom, this is closer. Like, that was his closing joke at the Chuckle Hut. That Sir Laughs a Lot. And then I'm going to say to my sons, you're fired. Good night, everybody. He had props up on the stage. He had stacks of manila envelopes. This is all the business dealings I need to deal with my lawyer. Like, it was like an infomercial. Has this ever happened to you? You have mountains and mountains of paperwork because of your conflicts of interest? Well, worry no more, because now I have the answer. Here's my lawyer.
The mic has been dropped.
It was nuts.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
It was a nuts thing to watch.
Well, I guess all that means is Alec Baldwin has a job to do Saturday night.
Then red licorice, people eating red licorice.
Right? It's overwhelmingly.
It's madness.
You're very much in the minority on your love for black licorice.
Because you're fake news. You're a fake news organization. He wouldn't take any questions from CNN.
He wouldn't?
No. Because they're a fake news organization.
Did they run with the Golden Showers thing?
They let it, and then BuzzFeed let out the report. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow!
Can we just ask a question? No! You're fake. You're fake news. You wouldn't listen to CNN. It's going to be an interesting couple years.
Two?
You're fine.
When you say couple, you mean two?
No, I mean for three or four, whatever it takes, you know. Gene thinks it's gone eight, so what do I know?
I've made my decision. You're fired.
You're going to be walking around with slippers for a long time, Kev. What's going on? I'm just here for chili. Just here for kind of chili. Pushing the cart down the aisle. Where's the chili and where is the pudding? Chili. I'm in the mood for pilly and chili. The slippers as he walks around.
That'll go all the time in slippers, okay. Just occasionally.
All right, slips. Don't worry about it. Hey, this is an interesting list. Paste.com has put their collective heads together over there, and they've come up with the 75 best TV title sequences of all time. They talk about how important it is for a TV television show to have a strong title sequence to hook you into that show, let you know what the show's all about, boom, right from Jump Street. Interesting concept, and when you look at their list...
This is not the song. This is the graphics?
This has been the sequence. This is a combination.
So
obviously, song is part of it if that's part of the opening titles, but graphics... footage, animation, whatever they put together, whatever stylistically they do to bring you into the show. For example, it's not in the top 10, but Mad Men famously had a great opening title sequence where you saw this silhouette of Don Draper falling through the skyscrapers of Madison Avenue while famous print ads advertising sort of is behind him as the background. It's a very arresting opening sequence. Famous.
I have a guess. Friends.
So here's the top 10.
Oh. I have a guess.
I thought if you guys might want to take a guess, might be fun to play. But Friends is not on the list.
What?
But it's certainly on the top, in the top 50, but it's not on the top 10.
These are their stories. Gong, gong. Law and Order. Gotta be.
No. So this is a scale according to production value, innovation, creativity, cultural impact, use of song, and how well the intro represents or serves the series. That was the criteria they used.
Let me see if I can make it 0 for 3 since their guesses didn't end up in the top 10. The first thing I thought when you said a great title sequence was Hawaii Five-0.
No.
Okay.
It's in the top 7. Hey, now we're talking. Now you're getting it. X-Files number 8. Number 8. Best title sequences of all time for television.
All right.
Number 10 was Game of Thrones. It's pretty effective when you think about it.
Sure.
It puts you right there, doesn't it? With that music and that footage.
Chip says Simpsons.
Simpsons number 1, Chip.
Wow.
Number 1 as the greatest TV title sequence of all time.
Huh.
And you'd be hard-pressed, I think, to find another one.
I'm number one.
Yes, you are.
Victory
home,
is yeah. mine. Yes. So kiss my behind.
It is.
Boom, chakalaka.
Legendary, of course.
In your face. Boom.
Bart writing on the.
Okay.
On the blackboard.
Right.
Who's your daddy?
Homer at the. Homer at the. Nuclear plant there where he works. It's got everything. Number one.
How about, we've been talking about it a lot lately because it's coming back this spring, Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, no.
No.
Oh, that's great.
That's a great theme song.
All of
great
these are in the top graphics. 75 that you're naming. They just didn't make the top 10.
Yeah.
How about the A-Team?
A-Team not also in the top 10.
Number
Christine? Nine, you're gonna hurt yourself when I tell you number nine. You're going to go, of course. It's one of the most famous title sequences and TV theme songs of
Seinfeld.
All time.
Dragnet.
No,
Seinfeld? Dragnet's
no.
a pretty good
no.
guess.
I'm sorry, no to you, and also no to you. I don't want to.
Okay.
I want to make sure you each get separate no's. I don't want to give you just one big blanket no.
Christine from the other room weighs in with True Blood and Dexter.
Okay, no and no to her. And let me send these
no.
to the other room. No!
You got
no.
so much no today.
I got a lot of no.
Lot
How
of
gotta, recent are these?
That's a good
All
question.
All over the history of television.
Okay.
I'll tell you, looking from the top 10 here, I got it from 1964 to the present day.
Twilight, Mother Effin' Zone.
Twilight Zone, of course.
Oh, good thinking.
Number six.
When you said 1964, that's what made me think of
Twilight
it.
Twilight Zone.
That's a great open for a TV show right there.
That's not the Twilight Zone theme.
No, that's MASH.
That's the theme from
that's
MASH
my
you're doing.
No, no.
Oh.
No. Bad whistle and bad guess.
Star Trek.
The Twilight Zone.
Oh,
Star Trek
is a
number
great guess.
Four on the list,
Thank
Kevin.
You.
Of course. These are the voices of the Starship Enterprise. It's 5-year mission.
Yeah, that's a
legendary
great guess.
Opening Man. Television sequence. Legendary.
Different strokes.
Will you stop it?
Because you
just
get to
stop
know the
playing
whole story.
The game.
Why he picked the kids.
You are the worst at this
different
ever.
Different strokes to rule the
different
world.
Different strokes not on the
yes,
list.
Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to rule the
How about
world.
The Fresh Prince of Bel Air?
Number two
oh,
on
my
the
God.
List.
Yes. The worst.
They won't smell you later. The whole worst, the best.
The worst.
Because, yeah, they say the whole thing just like different strokes.
That's what made me, that's what made me think of it.
Different strokes go.
The Brady Bunch.
Not in the top 10. That's
right,
the only one in the top 10 I can't believe is in the top 10.
When
I look at the
it.
Other one, I can understand all of these, but I would think Brady's would have to
Do you guys remember when those people were pranking television shows that were live with the Fresh Prince? And they would recite.
Yes. Born in West Philadelphia, born and raised. Yeah.
So funny.
All right, here's a guess from Casey, Finger on the Button Girl, and I think
Jeez,
it's
everyone's playing along.
I think it's a great guess, and I'm going to write a strongly worded letter if this isn't in the top 10.
Okay.
And it's Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island, number nine on the list. That's one I was talking about. One of the most famous TV theme songs of all time.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Just sit right back and you hear a tale, right? Number nine.
And it lays out who all the characters are and what they do.
I'm
it's
very
great.
Familiar with it. And I know that song very well, yes.
All right, how many are we missing?
The King of Queens.
Stop it. You're missing three. I'm going to tell you number seven because you'll never get it.
Okay.
But I think there's a real case to be made for the opening sequence to the Drew Carey Show.
Oh, I don't even remember
that. Which changed
it
several times and always did an amazing, giant, big group dance number with Drew and the cast member and a bunch of extras.
I don't even remember what
Cleveland
that was.
Cleveland Rocks, they
Cleveland
did it
Rocks.
Too.
Sure.
5 o'clock World, they used that song as well in one of the seasons. They would change it every season, and it was very, very impressive. So, seventh on the list.
Miami Vice.
No. But there's two left on the list we haven't gotten.
Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice.
No. Oh. Money, 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 money. Cheers made the list. Cheers.
Cheers.
Number five.
Oh,
Cheers.
Everybody knows your name.
Yeah. And number three, I'll give you one hit. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Oh,
the Munsters. Sure.
I'm not getting anything.
The Addams Family.
I'm Addams Family.
Could you be any worse at this than you are?
I don't think so.
I could play with someone who's had a lobotomy and get closer answers.
It's not the Munsters at all. It's not the Munsters.
You beat me to saying the Munsters by 1 second.
No way!
Thank God.
Oh, you and thank, slippers.
Thank God.
Sitting in a tree.
I'm so happy for you right now.
Oh, I wish Kevin had said the Munsters
I'm so
much.
Happy I didn't. That would have been a dumb thing to say, right?
Oh, God.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Amanda Peet is 45 years old today. Singer Mary J. Blige celebrates her 46th birthday. And guitarist for No Doubt and soon to be heard, Dream Car.
Tom Dumont celebrates his 49th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off on your drive home today. Listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning is Thursday morning. That means we talk sports with Jim Rome. We talk to Dr. Drew. We've got Michael Cudlitz on the program tomorrow. And we've got your tickets for U2 at the Rose Bowl. We'll see you tomorrow.